you hear me?
Oh, no, of course not.
I haven't engaged your verbal systems.
Crichton, what are you doing, man?
I've just repaired the toaster, sir. Well, I've nearly repaired the toaster.
Oh, no, man, dismantle him. You don't know what a little bleeder's like.
Well, I've read all the documentation, sir. He's simply a talking alarm clock who provides his owner with early morning toast and light conversation.
Not this one. This one's mental.
Sir?
He's defective. He wants everyone to eat toast all of the time. He's obsessed with it. And if you don't want to eat, like, 400 rounds of toast every hour, he throws a major wobbly. That's what caused the accident in the first place.
What accident?
The accident involving me, the toaster, the waste disposal, and a 14-pound lump hammer.
That explains why he was down in the garbage hole in 3,000 separate pieces.
And nothing. He always says, howdy-doodly-do. Drives you spare? I mean, what the smeg does howdy-doodly-do mean?
Yeah, well, just trust me, sir. My motives will become clear.
Are you an angel?
What?
An angel. I heard the deep space pirates talk about them. They're the most beautiful creatures in the universe. They live in the moons of Iago, I think.
You're a funny little boy. How do you know so much?
I listen to all the traders and star pilots who come through here. I'm a pilot, you know, and someday I'm going to fly away from this place.
You're a pilot?
Mm-hmm. All my life.
How long have you been here?
Since I was very little. 3, I think. My mom and I were sold to Gardula the Hutt, but she lost us betting on the pod races.
You're a slave?
I'm a person, and my name is Anakin.
I'm sorry. I don't fully understand. This is a strange place to me.
Hey. Hit the nose.
I'm glad to have met you, Anakin.
I was glad to meet you, too.
Howdy doodly-doo, how's it going? I'm Talkie, Talkie Toaster, your chirpy breakfast companion.
Talkie's the name, toasting's the game.
Anyone like any toast?
Look, I don't want any toast, and he doesn't want any toast. In fact, no one around here wants any toast. Not now, not ever, no toast.
How about a muffin?
Or muffins. We don't like muffins around here. We want no muffins, no toast, no tea cakes, no buns, baps, baguettes or bagels, no croissants, no crumpets, no pancakes, no potato cakes, and no hot cross buns, and definitely no smeg and flapjacks.
Ah, so you're a waffle man.
God, I swear, it's almost like they don't want you to win.
Well, you better practice. You gotta win me a teddy bear.
I'm gonna win you a million teddy bears.
Well, I want a billion teddy bears.
Well, that's a little unrealistic. This is a hard game. 2 million.
Deal.
All right.
Hey, I love you.
Dude, shut up! That is awesome sauce!
Boom goes the dynamite. Hey, everyone. It's Friday. It's time for the Nowhere and Bizzleberry Show. How's it going? I am the J-Strom. here from the heart of Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Here we talk about film, television, pop culture, and stuff like that. I don't do the show alone. I do it with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey!
Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Great. Fantastic.
I missed you, Steven. It was a long week without you, buddy.
I know.
I really missed you.
So far away.
I love you, Steve.
Now, I have a strange announcement. It's a regular announcement, but there's no Laura here today.
No exercises before we do the show.
That's right. No, she wanted to spend some time with her son. He was gone all week for spring break, and now he's back, so she spent time with him. It would be good. Like, he walks in the door, but like, I'm leaving. I'm going to do a show. To do the Nowhere Mulberry show. Also, Bill couldn't be with us, Steven.
Bill
couldn't be with us.
Trusty, reliable Bill.
Yeah, he's got plans. He's busy right now, and we wish him all the best, and Laura. Hopefully, we'll be back to the Mulberry goodness next week. But I figured it'd be more like episode one, Steven, of just you and me.
It is.
When the phone rings, I'll jump up, and I'll answer it. You just take over with the news.
Yes, I love doing the news. It's one of my favorite parts.
There will be one difference, though. We're not doing it alone. Because remember, Vanessa, she jumped in eventually on that episode one. If anyone goes to Mulberry Old School on our forum, you'll find it in the place called the Mulberry Archive. Listen to episode one, and you hear me and Steven talking very slow-paced. Just like, hey, Steven.
What's going on?
And then, you know, eventually Vanessa calls in. And then we have to talk over her. So, I'm kidding. But we have here a special guest on the show with us, helping us do the show, Steven. And that is Adam!
What's up, guys?
Hey! It's
pleasure
Adam.
Pleasure to be here.
Adam the NIM Scholar.
There you go. I wasn't sure if it was that or the NIM alternate, but
he's got a PhD in Nowhere Mulberry. Am I right?
I'm starting to get that way. I'm going through these old school shows in preparation for what me and Ross want to do, and I've listened to some of them three or four times.
Are you serious? Oh, wow. Whoa!
In a row. I know. Just because, you know, I have my iPod broke, so I'm just down to a smaller one. So I have a limited number of episodes on there at a time. And so I'll be at work and I'm like, well, I guess I'll listen to episode 11 again for the third time.
Shut up! That is awesome sauce!
Yes, that is awesome sauce. Is that from this week's Parks?
Yes.
Yeah. I sent you a message. I hadn't seen that. It's kind of a spoiler alert. April telling Andy she loves him. So.
Oh.
Brock alert,
awesome
I should
sauce.
Say.
Sorry.
Hey, you know what? It's all good because it's awesome sauce.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Adam, for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here. How you doing, Steven?
I'm fantastic. Just got up. Didn't even have to get up early today. Catch a plane. Slept in. Catch my regular flight. Got in at 5.
Kicking back.
Or I got in at 4, actually. And I had a nice leisurely drive home.
You know what? It kind of sounds like your day was.
That is awesome sauce.
It was awesome sauce.
Sweet, man.
Foggy with the drops.
Now, let me ask you this, Adam. You and Ross are planning something special. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell anyone about it? Are we allowed to know anything?
I would love to. I've been trying not to talk much about it because I'm a flaky person in general. I have a lot of passions and a lot of things I want to get done, and I've been trying to restrain myself because we are planning on doing a This Week in NIM, and it's kind of just will be maybe like a 2 to 3 minute thing, probably at first just be recapping old school episodes. And we're having some issues getting the recording down. I want to be able to play clips while we record and talk about it. And so we've already gotten together and we did episodes 1 and 2. We recapped those episodes. And but we're just, once we get these little noisy ticks and humbars out of the way, we'll be, you know, I hope that we can play these clips on the regular NIM at some point. I don't know where it would fit in or whatever, or, you know, I'm not sure how all that will work. But yeah, we're basically just going to recap an episode. Like episode one, for example, will probably be like a 3 minute long just on episode one. But some of the episodes we might, or like some of the recaps we might shrink together, like episodes 5 and 6, or, you know, it just depends on how many things happen in those particular episodes, I guess.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, so that's what we've got planned. We're just trying to work out the, you know, red tape or whatever you would call it. So,
technical difficulties, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool.
That's
I can't
we
wait
did
to
the
hear
first
it.
25, 30 episodes.
What, technical difficulties?
Yes.
If you only knew, Adam, back in the day of just getting Bill on Skype where it would record was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I still have – I have no idea how that's accomplished.
Every time he would turn his microphone to mute to burp, it would mute our side. And
we
wouldn't know for like 5 minutes that he wasn't recording or
something. It would stutter and stuff like that. It was just a pain in the ass. And I remembered like if anyone there were certain things that was really just touchy. Like if like you said, Stephen, if we muted something, it would all go to hell. And it'd be like, no, what did you just do? Did you mute yourself? No! You know, and then we'd have to
all
go
the
through.
All settings would be all I'd have messed
to
put, up.
Remember that? I'd have to push up on the volume and go, okay, how does that sound, Bill? How's that? Like it would be echoey or whatever. Then eventually we'd get it. And then one day it just stopped doing that and everything's fine. It just stopped being like that.
Yeah, there was a Thank point God. In the volume. It'd be like you push it one bar too far and all of a sudden – we reverberate for 5 minutes.
Oh, that sucks.
And so we nudge it back down.
I knew that, like, you know, I heard about different
gizmo,
different recording things you could get, like all these high-tech boards and compressors and stuff like that to make your sound better. And we've never gotten any of that. So
what are you using right now? Like, how do you record – Like whenever you just whenever Foggy plays a drop, is that just is that your hard drive that's recording that?
No. I have a little 1 gigabyte MP3 player where it's a line out from the headphones jack going into that, and it records the show that way.
Wow, that's crazy.
Back in the old days of the show, I used the computer to record, but then I realized it's better to use all your bandwidth for the show and not use any to record because it just saves on any kind of hiccups or anything like that.
So you load – I'm sorry. This is probably such minutia that people don't care about.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so then you just rip that MP3 file off and put it in the editing program of your choice and just clip – do your clips or whatever. Not clips, but, you know, like you just do your editing through that, like that.
Right, right.
Okay,
we don't really add clips in post or anything, though.
I know it's all live. That's what makes the show awesome. But so, like, what do you just have, like a three-way splitter? Like your microphone, Steven's microphone.
Right. And if Lars here, I have two more splitters.
splitters
that's great, and it sounds good, too.
I need to take a picture of it sometime, and I'll show you it. I'll put it on the – this is our octopus for the show.
Cool. Right on, man. Right on.
So, we don't have compressors or anything. We rely on the levelator. That's one thing, listening to those old episodes before we had the levelator, I'm like, whoa, like I'll like go, shit, that sound was loud. And because there's no levelator back then. I don't think it was until episode, I'm going to say in the 60s when the levelator was created. And thankfully, just for our show, we.
Well, it was like one day after or before the show, we went out looking for these Y splitters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like Radio Shack.
And now I get them on every job site that I go to now. I've got like 40 of them. You know?
We picked it up by necessity, really.
And
you know?
We paid $15 a pop for them back when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
what is the levelator? Is that a computer program or is that like an actual little box you run everything through?
No. Doesn't it sound fancy? It's actually just a computer program. You have it on your desktop. You take the WAV file, click it and drag it and drop it into the levelator, and it does this little fake computing. You know, it has little lines like it shows you it's doing something just for show. Like, oh, wow, look at that. It's levelating. And then when it's done, it appears in your folder, and that's all the sounds have been evened out and everything.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds really easy.
That has saved the show, I think, because way back in the day – you know, it just you'd have to ride the volume and stuff. And I remember I submitted the
Bill's
show.
Bill's volume would go so low we couldn't hear him,
or high, or
way too high,
vice versa, or drop sometimes or whatever. But one thing is, way back in the, you probably have listened to this episode, Adam, where we submitted the show, or at least I submitted the show. You guys didn't really care. For some reason, I would always subject us to this. I'd submit the show to a podcast called Upon Further Review, where they reviewed the show.
Where they review podcasts, right?
Yeah, and the guy was like, oh, the volume is crazy. It's like up, down, you know. It's just like so loud, and then it's too low. And it was like making me mad listening to it. And I was like, God damn, he's right, though.
Yeah, so now, so have you gone back through the catalog, like episodes 1 through 60, whenever you got the Levelator, and like fixed or done the Lucas touch-ups to make it levelated?
I've done it to 2 episodes.
See, really? Because I can't tell. I mean, like, yeah, if I was critiquing your podcast, I've never noticed. I'm not real good with the sound that way anyways, but
yeah,
excuse
I
me, but
it.
Like, I've never picked it up at all. It's not, I mean, some of the gunshot drops are so loud it hurts, but that's about it.
Yeah. Episode 17 is remastered.
Okay.
5.1 Dolby. Episode, I'm going to say 58,
the Halloween one.
Yeah, that one's been remastered.
Okay.
And episode 50, I believe, has, where they've been run through the Levelator. Then in the 60s, that's when the Levelator came out, and that on is all levelated.
Cool, okay.
Right, so basically the clip shows, I did those. So
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Speaking of the clip show, what's up with the best of? The holiday special.
It's almost done.
I'm waiting every week.
It's almost done.
You know what happens? By the time Tuesday I put the show out, like I just finished the Enhanced show, Wednesday I don't want to mess with anything. And then Thursday I have to start working on this week's show again. So there's no time to do it. It's crazy. And it's like I'm waiting for a week where we just don't do the show, and then I'll be able to finish it, you know?
Yeah. But take a little hiatus or whatnot.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to talk about, like, tomorrow, Steven and I and Laura, she doesn't flake out on us. She should go. We're going to this convention called AllCon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Rick Gutierrez, who does the United States of Geekdom. I keep wanting to say the United Geeks of Statedom. I keep like getting it. He does a podcast, and he wanted to put together a little podcast panel where people can answer questions about podcasts and stuff. There's also a dude from the don't do that, Jason, because I'm going to blank. But other podcasters will be there. Even like the Hollywood Saloon is going to be there. They've since canceled. Several people have canceled, but we will be there.
Sweet, man. Good for you guys.
He was ready to cancel if we weren't going to show.
Yeah, he was like, if the Mulberry guys cancel, I'm done. And I was like, nah, we're going to – no, I'm not flaking out. I can't do
that. I
was
like, we promised back when. He asked us like 2 months ago or three months ago.
I mean, it's like I'll flake out on something if I'm the first person to flake out. But if it comes down to like everyone else has, it's like I'll show up. Like, you know, I'm not going to
do it if these guys don't come.
I'm not going to be the jerk who ruins everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that is really exciting because I think, you know, hopefully you guys will gain some listeners from it. And
now, if we want to be unrealistic. We want to be realistic. I'm going to say I can't honestly believe anyone will care that we're there, and anyone will have a single question for us. Okay, it'll be neat to meet fellow podcasters.
Unless they ask questions like, what equipment do you use, or it's anything like, other than that, you know?
Right, but
what's your show about?
It'll be neat to talk to other podcasters, you know.
Yeah,
but it's not like we're going to be on a panel like at Comic Con or something like, hey, what the Mulberry Boats, or anything like that.
No, I know, but even so, like, there might be a lot of people there that are looking to get into it, or even people that haven't heard of it, because a lot of people that I tell I listen to podcasts,
like, first
they
of
don't
all,
know what it is still. You know what I mean? So,
hey, how do you guys make money at?
Yeah,
just even hold me back.
Yeah, my
just
mom.
Go punch the guy.
You still doing your little show?
You know that little thing you do on Friday nights? I wish you'd get out more, Steven. I really wish you would.
Where are my grandchildren at?
We've been doing this show a long time.
Oh, man, dude. I'm telling you, this show is so great. I mean, I've expressed it before, and I'm just, like, hoping that you guys never stop. But I honestly can't see it going on forever because –
sometimes I want to stop, and it's just – it has a lot to do with – being mentally tired. And I realized, hey, Jason, you don't have to be like, stop. You could like just take a week off or 2 weeks. I remember the one time, it was a couple years ago, I was like, we're going to take a month off. Like, it's the beginning of June. by the time it got to July, it was just like, I miss the show. I miss doing it.
It kind of
gives me purpose and stuff.
And,
so.
And if you, again, to bring up the sore subject of not getting paid for it, you know, but if you got paid for doing it, you know, I don't know how much you know, what little penance you would require for doing it, you know. As much time and effort as you put into it, you know, it's like,
right.
I mean, are you expecting, you know, X amount or, you know,
it would be nice to get paid. Cause I mean, I do work hard on the show and it would
obviously,
be nice.
Yeah.
I'm rewarded by people like you, Adam, people like Swiley, people like Sean, Rick. It's when people appreciate the show, that's cool. Cause I honestly can't believe sometimes that people like, I honestly will have doubts while working on the show. Like why?
Well, it's like why when we first started, Jason goes, I'll be happy if 20 people listen.
Yeah. I remember when me and Ross were setting up our podcast, I thought, man, if I could get 10 strangers, 10 people I don't even know to listen to it.
It almost sounds like a pyramid scheme. And then they get 20 suckers.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to do it because, like I said, with these creative ideas and stuff, and like me and my friends have always been that way, like whether we're making music or whether we're making videos or whatever. And so it was a way where we could get together, get the word out to strangers that we don't even know, and just have a ball with it. But we didn't get one listener out of 10 shows. And so we should have kept going, but like I think that was around the time Ross's son was born.
What was the name of your show again?
This was the other thing that was bad too. It's called the Omnitainment Podcast, which is like,
dude, shut up! That is awesome sauce.
The Omnitainment Podcast.
Yeah,
because it covered
the
all entertainment.
Is down.
And the music you're talking about is you guys did that song Shine, right? This is your time. This is your life. That was you guys in that video.
No. I honestly don't understand the reference. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on, Adam.
I don't. I'm sorry. I don't.
No, if you got played the song, you would recognize it.
Okay. All right.
But so you guys did like 10 episodes and then you were like, I'm done?
Or yeah, we did 10 and then we had 11 and 12 recorded and it just needed to be edited. And then it was always an issue with like we didn't just go to a blog spot like you guys have, you know, we set up our own website and it was really, really lame. And I never learned how to post the shows. Everyone was always like, oh, the podcasting's so easy. But yet me and Ross, like, it was nothing but trouble. Like, there's nothing but trouble for us to do it. So I listened to the episodes and they're fun. They're really fun. Like one time we even had like 6 people on it one time when Grand Theft Auto 4 came out. And it's a pretty cool episode really because we bought a really nice mixer and it sounded really good and stuff. But – and my friends and people from church were listening. You know, like people that I knew liked it and people that I know still, they're like, dude, when are you going to do another podcast? It's like – It's just – in order to make it good, you have to put a lot of time into it, and I just don't have that. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be with the family and stuff, and I mean your guys' show, you can tell there's a lot of time put into it. You know what I mean?
Jason,
and it's not going to be – it's only as good as what you put into it, yeah, I think. And so oh, this one, yes, okay.
Nah, you know what it is now, right?
Yes, is that the one with the train?
Yes.
In the video?
Yes.
Oh, genius.
Now, when we first did the first 2 episodes, I went on vacation. I remember we went to Port Aransas, and I was like, how do I put these on the internet now? I was like, you have no idea. How does it get podcasted now? I don't understand. Well, you got to find a host. Oh, okay. I'll find a host. Oh, you got to pay for storage fees? How does it?
Yeah.
There's an XML. What is this feed thing? Didn't you submit that to iTunes? And I remember when I submitted the feed to iTunes, it was like exciting. Like you check, refresh.
Oh, dude.
But it like takes
that.
Like
Same
2
thing.
Weeks
Same
or whatever.
Thing.
It's funny. Good times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought one last thing. I know we're probably beating this to death, but I thought was as simple as like when you send a picture like on an attachment, like you know, in an email, like okay, now I'm going to go into iTunes and I'm going to find the browse button and I'm going to click browse.
Add
I'm going to load
podcast.
My podcast,
click.
But it's not. All right. It's not that easy.
Yeah, and the loading of it, you know, come on, upload, come on.
Yeah,
it's a big pain in the ass.
It is.
I still have a hard time uploading the show, like, via FTP for Podbean, who I use. Sometimes it times out. I'll, like, go to the store, come back. It timed out? What the hell? And try it again. There was one day a couple weeks ago, it was like 10 times.
Yeah.
And I know. It's like, I saw trying again for the 11th time.
And then, you know, you write for, you write their support. You know, it's like, hey, I've tried to upload the show on FTP. Can you help me somehow? Well, here's what you do. You turn off your firewall and stuff. It's like, okay, every week for 5 years I've been uploading a show. I know how to upload it. I'm telling you, it's not working. It's timing out. And then, you know, wait like 5 hours and then they email back. Try it now. It's like, what? What did you do? Did you do anything?
What we did is we turned our computers off, our master computer, and then we turned it back on. So why don't you give it another go?
We gave it the old
it's
reboot.
It's working. Yay.
Hey, hit the nose.
Oh, that's how it works. You hit the nose.
All my life.
They live in the moons of Iago, I think.
That's hilarious. Oh, that is good. That is good.
They're the most beautiful creatures in the universe.
Ah, yes.
I went to just a sidetrack from this. That just reminded me. Last week, I went to a bar with my brother. This girl was sitting there looking at her. I'm going, what? She looks familiar. And she wrinkled her face up, and I was like, oh, my God, it's Anakin. She had Anakin's face.
What?
It was like identical, and I just was like, holy crap. I just started laughing. I don't know. It made me laugh.
Wow.
I listened to all the traders.
That's all I kept thinking. I look at her next week. Oh.
Wait, did you hear in the background all the traders and star pilots?
She was listening to all the traders and star pilots.
You know, you had a great opening line with her.
Are you an angel?
What? Oh, you.
Oh my gosh. What if Steven actually approached her like, okay, I'm going to run game here.
Yeah.
Are you an angel?
Dude, I'm going to bust an Anakin on this chick.
Bust an Anakin.
Godzilla the Hutt.
And she's like, well, it's very nice to meet you. Freak.
I was glad to meet you too.
Now, guys, we have some voicemail. We got a couple of voicemails, and let's check them out. Our first one is Sean. Let's check out this Sean voicemail.
Nice.
Hey, everybody. It's Sean here in L.A. Gotta say, last week's episode 230 was pretty mediocre. Oh. Yeah, not that good.
Oh, no.
Oh, who am I kidding? You guys know it was awesome. You guys know how I thought it was awesome.
Oh, you
I just thought I had to break up the boringness of all my voicemails always praising you. But I couldn't keep
we
up
like
the charades.
Praise.
Yeah,
love it
was good stuff. It's good to have Mulberry back. Awesome episode. Really looking forward to Super 8, just like Bill and all of you. And that joke about the fighter being called the fight still doesn't get old for me. Which
never
I just watched
old.
This past week with my girlfriend, and when it was done, she asked me, why does Marky Mark seem so sound so whiny in that movie? But I think he sounds whiny in every movie. I don't know. In that movie, he's especially whiny, though. He's always just like, oh, I told everybody I was going to win the fight. I'm embarrassed. Oh. But yeah, yeah. But the movie is good. I like this. Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, I don't really have much to say. I just wanted to call and say hey, and good luck on tonight's show. I remember seeing that Warren Mulberry was going to be at some, like, podcast panel type thing. I think that's
nice.
This weekend or coming up real soon.
Hey,
I know
gets
it's in
around.
Texas, so obviously I'm not going to be there, but that would be so awesome if I could have been. I wish I could be there, but it would have been so cool to see you guys in person and then meet you and hang out, but oh well, maybe someday. Anyway, yeah, have a great show tonight, guys, and then Laura. Okay, bye. Love you.
Right,
bye.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks. We love you too, Sean. Thank you.
So let me
Sean's awesome.
Oh! Now,
why don't
you
we allow nature to take its course?
You know, one thing that bummed me out about AllCon is if you look at the celebrities, I'm doing finger quotes, Steven.
Air quotes.
James O'Barr, the guy who created The Crow, is going to be there. That's okay. Pretty cool. Also, Richard Hatch, not Survivor's Richard Hatch. I'm talking about Battlestar Galactica.
Galactus Richard
he Hatch. Will be there. But I don't see any real comic book people. When we, you and I would go to the Dallas Fantasy Fair, there would be like all these
Clyde Barker when he was doing his stand.
Stan Lee, you know, Bob Burden, the Flaming Carrot guy, we met him there. But there's all these Rob Liefeld. He was there. But this is like, there's no comic book people, barely. And it's mostly just like people. You know, one thing, if you look at the front page to AllCon, Adam.
I'm looking at it right now.
There's like, it looks like a couple in Star Trek uniforms getting married. And
yeah,
I was kind of like, this is going to be one of those occasions where I think, okay,
close the door on them quick.
Do you think of yourselves as a geek or a nerd, Steven? I don't know if I really label myself that. I think I'm like on the cusp.
I'm geeky. I've got geeky tendencies or whatever. Or you have nerdy geeky tendencies. Likes,
but I don't know. I almost think like, I know a little bit about things, but not a lot where I'm insane. I don't have a huge collections of anything. But probably the geekiest thing that I do in my life is a podcast, you know?
I mean, I collected comic books. I still have some. I still have a bunch.
Right.
My biggest one I got geeky over was the Flaming Carrot.
You know? There was a time where we were very heavily into comic books. That kind of drifted out of that. Mainly has to do with spending money on it. It's just not important to me. I don't collect figurines or anything like that.
I do. I'm a geek. I'm on that level.
Here's the one thing I want to pick up, Adam. I know, like, at this convention, the one thing I'm going to look at is for a Felix the Cat old school, like, DVD. I don't know if there's such a thing as that. But basically, a DVD of Felix the Cat of old cartoons to bring home to my daughter. That's what I'm going to look for.
Dude, that's so funny. I bought one of those at a dollar store, like, when me and my wife first got married.
What, a Felix the Cat DVD?
A Felix the Cat, yeah. Sweet. I had never even watched it. I've always known the character.
Dude,
but
that was a show I loved as a kid. It was on. There's some on Netflix, and I was watching it with my daughter, and I was like, just realizations as I'm watching it, like, Felix gets tied up a lot. They're bound and gagging Felix quite a bit on this cartoon. All right, Felix, let me tie you up. And it's like, okay, it's kind of strange, but still.
What's in that bag of tricks of yours?
If you're like a cataphile or something, you might like that. I just made that term up. Actually, nice. I think my wife made that up. But cataphile. But seriously, they tie up Felix way too much. A little strange. But still, it's an entertaining cartoon. But that's what I'm going to look for at AllCon. Other than that, I hope they have burritos or something, because I don't know what else we're going to do.
We looked for like Red Dwarf tapes back in the day. Before they put them out here.
I would look for John Woo movies.
John Woo movies.
Yes, I remember you talking about that.
If it was a major, what black?
I got nothing. Now we got another voicemail, this one from Rick. Let's check it out, guys. You guys know who Rick is, right?
Oh, yeah. He's from Austria.
Yeah, he's from Austria. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. I'm sorry about last week. I didn't mean to sound condescending. It was meant to be a joke, but you took it personally. I was like, oh, man, they're just doing a bit about it. I know. But still, there's part of them that's like, son of a bitch. So I apologize. It was meant to be a little joke.
Very fun.
And it was, I could see why you could take offense to it. So sorry about that. I didn't mean to. And so you don't like my theme music? Fine, I won't play it anymore.
I love it.
I like it, that's all.
Beautiful theme
music. So sorry about that. I'm a great fan, guys. And all that stuff. This was Rick from Australia. And since you don't like my theme music, I'll play a short bit of a song and you gotta try and guess what it is. Reasonably well known, I think.
Okay.
Have a guess.
The theme to Sledgehammer, the TV show. I don't know, what is it? I guess we find out next week.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Was it? It sounded like it could be the Batman theme. Dun, 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 dun.
No.
Got nothing. But Rick, I did not hate your theme. I just was teasing you because you were teasing us is all. That's all it is, right?
Yes. Yes.
Play the theme. Play the theme anytime you like.
Yeah. Play the theme and also let us know what that was next week. Right. Guys, let's check out entertainment. What do you say? Oh. Just play the music already, Foggy. Nah. Believe this guy? Fall asleep on the job.
He thinks he is me.
All right, guys. I'm really excited to see Paul, the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie. Ooh. With Alien. It looks like a lot of fun. Do you want to see that too, Adam?
I may go see it Tuesday, actually. I do want to see it. I like.
Gladly view it Tuesday.
I still haven't gotten around to seeing Hot Fuzz. I've seen parts of it, but I really do like Spaced and Shaun of the Dead. And,
sweet.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you should watch Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz is awesome.
It's good stuff. Now, that is the difference with Paul is it's not directed by Edgar Wright, who does Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. But it is directed,
right.
I believe it's Greg Mottola. He did other stuff like Superbad. I believe on the commercial from the director who brought you Superbad.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see that. There's this other, The Lincoln Lawyer with Matthew McConaughey. You guys excited to see that, huh? Lawyer flick?
Yeah.
I know there's some people. Some people are really into lawyer type movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially.
Oh, man, I watched Pelican Brief like once a month.
Oh, yeah? What about what was Matthew McConaughey one?
The Firm and that one you're thinking of is License. No, it's not. It's I can't remember the name of it. The Matthew McConaughey.
I was going to say A View to Kill.
A
Time to
Kill.
Yes,
they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
All right.
Yeah.
You'd be a lot cooler.
What I like about yours, they stay the same age. Oh, wait, sorry, that's wrong movie.
You get older, but they say the same age. You got to love McConaughey, right? Now, another movie that's coming out is Limitless with Bradley Cooper, where he gets smarter and smarter or something. I don't know. I just half watched the thing. What do you guys think about that, huh?
It's kind of interesting. I guess it's kind of on the same
There's nothing this week getting horrible reviews like last week. I think everything was, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
A like an action-y Flowers for Algernon type thing. No, that's some tweet I saw.
it looks. Unless, I saw a preview for the. Unless, other, I have. I think I've only seen one preview for it.
Unless Cyber Lawnmower Man.
Ah, yeah. It's Lawnmower Man without the computers. That's what it is. You know.
That is awesome sauce.
Yeah. Heck
yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is.
There's a new Paul Giamatti flick called Win Win, where he takes a kid in. And he's a wrestler or something. But I love Paul Giamatti so much that I want to see that.
As do I. I just saw that. I looked something up on IMDb, and I saw that advertised, but it was just like the background. I haven't seen a trailer, though, but I love Paul Giamatti.
Dude, shut up! That is awesome sauce!
All right.
And what about the Sucker Punch here? The other movie.
Hey, that's coming out soon.
That is right! Zack Snyder, Sucker Punch in the Nose.
Foggy is on point tonight, let me tell you.
Zack Snyder has done this film called Sucker Punch. It looks crazy awesome on the visuals. I can't wait to see it. We're definitely seeing that one the weekend it comes out, Steven.
Okay. Now, what else is Zack Snyder? I don't know who that is. What else has he done?
300.
300. And
oh, okay.
Watchmen, the movie.
Watchmen, the movie.
Yes. Yep, Watchmen, the movie. Mm-hmm. And he also did the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Which I enjoyed, actually. I really liked that one.
Right. You know, it's for what it is, it's good. You know, it's not a bad movie. I could do without the tagged-on credit sequence at the end where they're on the boat. I'm just like, just end the movie. Yeah. If this is supposed to be in the movie, then have it in the movie. Don't have it this cheater credit sequence. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I didn't really like that part of it either. But see, when I was younger, I didn't watch a lot of zombie movies. Like, I didn't watch them until I was probably 22 or 23 years old. And that is actually one of the first zombie movies that I have ever seen. And I was like, wow, this movie is awesome. So
yeah, that, I mean, it is a fun movie.
Watchmen.
And Watchmen. You know, I'm... For, to this day, I'll still see people like Zack Snyder's doing the new Superman movie, right? People are like, well, you know, Watchmen was boring. Hey, Watchmen director's cut. Don't watch it theatrical. The director's cut is where it's at. It's awesome.
Cool. I still have yet to see it. That was the first movie I wanted to see in my dad's theater, but I still have yet. All I need to do is just like go rent it or something. I don't know. I haven't done it yet, though. But.
Which movie is that?
Watchmen, the movie.
Oh, Watchmen, the movie. Cool.
Yeah.
What did Gene Shalit think of that, by the way, Steven?
Malarkey.
He thought it was malarkey.
Well, what does that old bastard know?
Hey, he doesn't know.
Well, guys, let's check out what's going on our what, Adam?
On our TiVo /DVR/...
Hells yeah! Woohoo!
Hit the nose!
All right, guys, this is where we talk about TV shows. Our first show that I love to watch, and I don't know why, I have to watch it every week, Steven.
Cake Boss!
Hey. Why can't I stop watching this show, huh?
You got some cojones.
He's got some big cojones.
Cojones.
Now, this week on Cake Boss, did you guys know that they have a rival to Punxsutawney Phil? Let's go ahead and check this out, because there's a rival,
Phil,
and also Buddy just loves insulting his cousins and relatives. You know, it's everyone who works there. Let's check it out.
Hello?
Hello, it's Peter.
Today I get a call from this guy, Peter, from the Staten Island Zoo, and they do a big event there every year with their groundhog.
Staten Island Chuck, right?
Yeah, Staten Island.
Yeah, no, I've heard before.
So Staten Island Chuck... he's New York's version of Punxsutawney Phil. He's actually a lot better.
It's a hamburger.
And way more accurate. Mm.
You know, we had this this idea to try to create some sort of really interesting cake.
Yeah, well, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, it's a big event for the Staten Island Zoo. It's a lot of people that come. The mayor comes every year.
Oh, Mayor Bloomberg's going to be there?
Yeah, Mayor Mike Bloomberg comes every year.
Cool.
They're inviting me to present this cake. Knowledge. And the mayor of New York City's going to be there.
That
which means
so
it better be a good cake.
I just got a call. About doing a cake.
I love Dana shows in the shape of the winner
of New York's version
Baker finally.
Of Groundhog Day.
Oh, Staten Island Chuck?
Staten Island.
He's famous.
Yeah, yeah. He is. Well, hopefully he predicts, you know, that we're going to have early summer because I can't take the snow anymore.
So here's the deal. If Chuck sees his shadow, 6 more weeks of winter, which means we better make sure that his head pops up and down without seeing a shadow.
Staten Island Chuck, if he knows what's good for him, he better not see a shadow.
That's right.
If not, we'll go find him.
Yeah.
We'll bury him in his own hole.
Is to make a groundhog.
Hell yeah.
It's going to look real cool. With grass and rocks and dirt. There's going to be an awesome
Buddy's
groundhog made out of modeling.
In this episode.
The thing is,
get the level
I
later.
Want him to pop out of his hole. And I'm not sure how I'm going to make that happen just yet.
What's a groundhog?
I guess it's a hog that comes out of the ground. I have no idea. Same thing as what? A woodchuck or something?
A woodchucker?
We had one under my deck one time.
So this week I got Dana helping out with the cake. And he's the new guy. So I'm going to have Danny
Morrow
really show Dana the ropes.
You did?
Yeah. Had one under your deck?
See, of all here's houses, a rope.
He chose
this is what
mine
we do
in the whole
it.
Neighborhood to go under the deck.
For real?
Yeah.
What did they do?
He'd be like digging up stuff under there. You don't even know. Like bricks from when they built the house, all of a sudden bricks come flying
this
out.
This stuff is amazing cake.
You can always tell who's the new guy, because he's always eating. So Chuck is looking good. The problem is, how am I going to make him pop up and down out of his hole so he doesn't see his shadow?
I have no idea.
I thought maybe something mechanical to make him go up and down.
Hey, that sounds
but then
good.
I thought, I got the perfect tool right upstairs.
Hey, Danny, go call Cousin.
Cousin Ed.
Call Cousin Ed.
Where is he? He's upstairs?
Cousin Anthony always bugs me that he wants to get involved in working on some cakes.
Anthony.
So I got the perfect solution.
Hey, I really think that we finally found the one cake that you could help us with.
All right.
Buddy is going to bring a cake out. Buddy, where is Buddy?
I'm going to
skip ahead in the episode.
Now it's fall time, and I have no idea.
idea. We're freaking Fracco with my cake.
All right, guys. Boy's getting pissed. I have an announcement to make. I'm just going to run inside and grab the cake, and I'll be right out, okay? I made a special cake. All right? Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it.
Freaking Fracco.
All right, we got everybody waiting out there, guys.
These morons are lost in the building trying to find the event. How do you miss it?
So bad. There's this part where he goes out there and he's like, hey, everybody, look. And everyone looks and Anthony hops under the cake real quick because he's supposed to
push
up. And if you notice, Buddy has his phone out like he's operating it like a joystick or something. It's like, who cares if there's somebody under it? He's trying to impress everybody. You know, they did a whole thing for Sal, you know, the guy who died. He worked in the bakery. He was his dad's best buddy, and he died. And I started getting choked up as they were talking. They're like, here's his old recipes. Oh, look, his glasses. And everyone's like crying and stuff. And I was like, I miss Sal too. They never showed him on the show or anything. They barely showed him. But
he's in the background a few times.
But it was just sad. And then, of course, the next thing is, you know, they go back to the goofy stuff. But they had a moment of just sadness. It's very sad. Awesome episode of The Cake Boss. And we finally got to see Dana. He's just standing around, basically. He looks like he's just watching a lot, like kind of like observing. You know, whenever you start a job and you're being trained, that's what he's doing.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day, like, it's so weird that they have barely shown him on the show. They even advertised, like, this week, the winner of Cake Boss Extreme Challenge or whatever the heck it was. And then they just, like, never even have him on the actual show. I'm like, why would they do that? Very strange.
These morons.
Yeah, I was like, where the hell is this guy?
They had to pay to have him move there or wherever he was from. And
I guess he's living in Hoboken now, baby, huh?
Oh, that's the hot spot. That is the media hot spot right now. You know how many new Joyzy shows are showing up all over the place?
Have you guys ever watched Kitchen Boss?
Yeah, it's not that bad, actually.
It's not. The food looks really good. But do you notice every episode he goes, that's how we do it in Hoboken, baby. He says it every episode. But he also, he makes this funny face whenever he tastes the food. When he's done with the meal, he takes a bite and he goes, his eyes roll back in the back of his head. He's like, now that's how you do it, baby. This Hoboken spaghetti or whatever. You know, it's just funny how he always does it. And he always does – he does this way too many times, Adam. And once I call attention to this, you're going to notice it every time. He always does this. He does it like a million times every episode.
Yeah, I've noticed that actually. Yeah, it's – I've only watched it one time and he's done that. But my wife keeps watching it and wants to make the meals. And I'm like –
me too.
I'm telling her, honey, you should make them. And that way I can do a recap of the meals and tell everybody what they actually taste like on Nowhere Mulberry. But – We have yet to do that.
We know that Buddy loves his grandmother. He loves nostalgia, the old days, because he's talking about everyone who comes on the show or always his relatives. He goes, you remember eating in grandma's basement when we were kids and she would cook out? And they're like, yeah, I vaguely remember that. But nobody cares as much as Buddy. He remembers.
That's Buddy's really got an old soul to him, you know? Really he's does. Really just
hey, hit the nose.
Does that mean you're right on the nose? I don't know.
And then he talks to his family that's on there, and he says, hey, do you remember when Grandma used to make it like this? And they go, yeah. And then he goes, Hoboken style, baby.
No idea. We're freaking Fracco with my cake.
Okay, calm down, Buddy.
She squirted my cake.
Have you guys been watching the America's Next Great Restaurant?
No, I wanted to watch. I missed it.
This week, Steven, they're picking out chefs, you know, because, you know, we know they can't make all the food and a lot of them aren't cooks. So they give them choices to pick out chefs, right?
Right.
So they also get to design their own logo. And remember that guy last week who was like, I almost sound like Buddy as I'm talking. You remember that guy, Steven? He wanted to make a taco stand. He wanted to make – it was called the Hard and Soft or whatever was the name of his place. He's like a jerk, we've learned on this episode, where he's giving everybody a hard time and he's critiquing everything. You know, he like offers a critique on your logo without even asking. And he sees this girl there, a chef. He goes – I recognize her. She's worked with Gordon Ramsay before. And I don't know how – she looked familiar to me too. I don't know if I've seen her on MasterChef or Hell's Kitchen or something. She looks
familiar. She's one of the sous chefs that you didn't really show talk, you know, maybe the first season or two.
She looks familiar, and I don't know where. But this guy recognizes her, too. Let's go ahead and check this out. Oh, and the guy who makes saucy balls, he's here, too. And then nice. I don't. Whenever they walk in, like, hey, go in there and meet the chefs. He's like, hey, who here loves Goodfellas and loves making food? And the chef's like, what? And later on, when they're supposed to meet the artist to design their logo, he goes, who loves the grandma? And they're just looking around like, who
is
this?
Was it the saucy balls guy?
The saucy balls. And you got to see the logo that he designed. It says saucy balls, but he has like a caricature of his grandma, like she's leaning over the words. It's pretty cheesy looking. But I would eat his meatballs, though. His balls look pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
Try some saucy balls.
Oh, let's check this out.
You need to create an awareness about your restaurant, and that's called branding. It starts with a logo.
What is it called?
Each of you will work with some graphic designers that will help you come up with an eye-catching, mouth-watering logo. There are 17 chefs waiting in the kitchen. You're going to interview the chefs and then decide amongst yourselves who will be your chef.
Right. Who's passionate about Italian food and loves Goodfellas?
Getting the right chef is
I'm
so
more of a
important.
Casino man myself.
How you doing, man? What's your name?
Henry.
Henry Jog.
I'm a kid like from Henry Hill from
in Brooklyn, New York, fighting for my dream to own a restaurant inspired by my grandma's meatballs.
Come on, make a meatball.
We know.
Come on.
Breadcrumbs, milk, onions, carrots.
Carrots?
I'm from L.A., and I see a chef in that room
Here's
that
the
I know
jerk taco
works with
guy.
Gordon Ramsay. Narice must be a good chef. Gordon Ramsay would have Narice as one of his go-to chefs if she wasn't extremely talented.
You're a Gordon Ramsay girl.
How do you know that?
I mean, I've seen you cook before. I've watched you. Does anyone else know that I get a Gordon side of you or no? Is that just me?
I don't even know how you know.
Wait, did anyone say that?
No.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
Our concept is embracing the American redneck. It's Southern small plates and barbecue. So we need somebody that can take our vision and bring it to the next level.
Non-rednecks in the
might be the biggest decision of the whole competition. You can't put a value on it. I mean, if your food's not good, your concept's not good.
Why do you guys want Brandon?
We asked him, like, what do you like to cook? And he said he
then,
likes
of course, they
to
fight
cook
over the
Southern
chefs later.
American food.
Alex, we got a little problem here, man.
Yeah.
So how are we doing this?
I guess you guys got to pick another chef.
That's absolutely not an option.
Who's your second pick?
I don't know if we have a second pick.
Well, you got to have it.
We want Brandon. I'm not trying to bulldoze the situation.
That's our first pick. We don't have a second. We're going with Brandon.
This is the only drama that happens in the whole episode. So we had to include.
I left a very successful business behind to be here.
What's his second pick?
He doesn't have one either.
Kill this dream. Crystal and Gregory, they're not getting Brandon.
The reason we brought you back in here is to see who you'd be most comfortable working with.
We want you to be passionate about whatever concept you pick.
Joey, I want to say thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. Everything that they're asking is a great idea.
That's perfectly fine, man.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
He turns
thanks
him
a
down.
Lot.
Thank you for the opportunity.
The gloves are off.
That backfired.
All right, I don't have a whole lot of stuff to say, quite honestly, because you cannot lose with me. You can have over 100,000 different wraps at my restaurant.
They make wraps at Subway.
It's Subway with the scoreboard,
exactly,
I'll be
exactly.
real.
Yeah, but she asked what was special about you, not for you to try to take a little
hey,
kid out.
I can say whatever I want.
Friend, thank you very much.
He's a jerk.
But I think I'm going to go with the taco concept, only because it just feels right.
Yeah, I got to admit, the whole wrap thing is not exciting me, but let me ask you guys this. A taco guy and a wrap person, I'm going to just say same thing. Only the tortilla covers more with a wrap. She's yeah. saying, we're going to make 100,000 different kinds of wraps. He's like, we're making 100,000 different kinds of tacos. You guys are opening the same place. What you should do is just go in together. Business. Hey, why don't we have wraps and tacos?
Let me wrap your taco.
But that guy is so arrogant. Like, later on when they're all designing logos, he's like going around like, your logo is no good. And they're like looking at him. And there's the one, she's very cute girl. She's opening the wok place. He calls her princess and stuff. Like, oh, you're going to fail, princess. And she's like looking at him like, what is your problem? I don't know what this dude's problem is. Did you get to see the show, Adam?
No, unfortunately, I did not.
You got to check it out. Fantastic show. If you're,
all right.
If you like saucy balls, you'll like it.
Which I do.
I'm a person, and my name is Anakin.
And I like saucy balls.
It's like, why is he telling us this? Okay. Well, anyway, let's check it out when they design logos, and later on they go to, what do they call that, City Walk? Out there in California.
Adam? Yeah, I've been there before. It's out right outside of Universal Studios. It's
Adam,
pretty nice,
didn't you
actually
get drunk there once?
No, that was, oh gosh. That was called Downtown Disney. That's outside of Disneyland, actually.
That's in Anaheim.
Isn't it all in the same place, or is it not?
No, it's about, it's
is
like
it
a
Burbank?
20 minute drive,
City Walk in Burbank?
Drive.
See, I don't really.
No, Anaheim's probably, what, about 45 minutes south of L.A., maybe not less.
It's a little shorter. I guess
is City Walk near Universal Studios?
About 25, 30 miles.
Is it right outside Universal Studios? City
Yeah,
Walk?
Universal's up
that's
in...
That's where the City Walk is. It's like part of Universal Studios,
well,
basically.
This is
so when,
where,
so when the park closes down, you can go there. And
they let
North,
them all...
Yeah, North
they
Hollywood.
Let them set up their food stands there with their new logos, and people try their food. And then the judges went around and walked around, and that one, like, Hispanic lady kind of reminds me of Charo. She later appears on Top Chef this week, which I thought was funny. And Padme even says, and from the new TV show, America's Great Next Great Restaurant. I'm like, wait, didn't the other judge, Curtis, appear on Celebrity Apprentice? Wow, they're really networking here, aren't they? All right, let's check this out.
This logo is really lame. Saucy balls. It's bad. I'm just saying, I'm always be honest.
I think there's a lot of logos that need help. They're just lack of creativity on the part of my competitors. Most of the people just put a name of their concept and like put some colors. I mean, a child could have done that.
What's the yellow thing though?
It's a piece of corn.
It doesn't look like corn.
I've gone back to it many times.
What does it look like?
Perfect, so just pretty much like that.
Yeah. Okay.
They got another
thing. Oh yes,
they
do.
She's confident that you're gonna carry her through this competition.
I do.
It's not carrying me through a competition. It's teamwork, Alex.
That's right, teamwork.
So. Well, if he doesn't carry you, I would be concerned.
Alex, sure. I can cook.
Look, so I got your own chef laughing at you. Just don't know if you can stand on your own feet for enough hours.
Why don't you worry about yourself?
We got saucy balls, sir. How are you?
The amount of sauce compared with a meatball, they really are saucy balls. It's good, sir.
Thank you.
Do you think that the name saucy balls, do you think there's anyone that might find it a little bit bad taste?
I think we'll attract a lot more people than we'll offend with that name.
You want another one? You all right?
Yeah.
The food is delicious. Doesn't offend anybody?
Nobody's offended by it?
No, it's not offensive. It's
like, if you're with your friends, but you wouldn't be like, hey, Grandma, let's go eat at Saucy Balls, you know?
Grandma, I'll take you to the Saucy Balls.
We want to get that feeling of like we're having fun. We want that organic, you know, with the wood and a little bit of metal in there.
Could be a logo for perhaps a garden supply store.
And this is our tater tot casserole.
Served with pigs on the blanket.
We bacon wrapped sausages.
Sounds good to me.
I like to indulge, for sure. But this is just heavy, fatty, greasy, without really being very satisfying. Oh. I just get fat. It's awful. It's just fat food.
Hey, he hates hits.
So what's this taco?
It's a bacon cheeseburger taco. And we went with Havarti cheese.
Sounds
it's creamy.
Disgusting.
It's not offensive, but yet it still has flavor.
You know, I must say, I was skeptical. It's tasty.
It's good.
Let's talk about the
logo.
Let's talk
about the logo a little bit.
Yeah. I see fire and wings and a dagger, and I see a cultish
logo
a font.
Is really lame.
Yes.
Right? Nothing about that says taco, hard or soft.
So maybe no wings, maybe tacos.
What's your language, sir?
My logo at least says taco in it. And I just don't think Steve really got it, and the best part about it is as soon as Steve walked away, I had three customers walk up to me and go, they're not cool enough to know that that's a cool logo. I spent a while doing that logo. I'm real proud of that. Thank you.
Yeah, so the lady who does raps actually got eliminated this week is very sad because they gave her some advice about her raps, and she goes, look, I've done a lot of research in this, and they're like, whoa, she won't take any advice? We're investing in a restaurant? Bye-bye. So she was gone. And I got to say, I ate at Chipotle this week. And while it is good, if I don't want what is that stuff called? The diced tomatoes, Steven? You know, the spicy diced tomatoes? Pico de gallo.
Pico, yeah.
If I don't want that on my burrito, don't put it in there. Because, you know, you like spicy stuff. I don't. If I like all of a sudden bite and something spicy, I'm like, oh, damn it. You know, don't put it in there. It probably accidentally fell in or something, but I get really angry. Oh, and another thing about Chipotle, the chips are way too salty. Am I right? Have you guys ever eaten there?
I've never eaten there. They just opened one up about at a town. You know, across town or whatever, but yeah, I have not eaten there yet.
They give you chips and salsa, but the chips are too salty. Don't like it. Mm. But the one thing about, do you guys wonder about the saucy balls? What kind of sauce is that?
That is awesome sauce.
Oh, hey! I would totally eat that now. So you're eating meatballs and...
That is awesome sauce.
An awesome sauce. Dude, that guy... If he changed the name of his place from... No, just take the balls off and just call it Awesome Sauce. And meatballs are on the thing. Oh, yeah. All right, I'm getting too into this. Okay.
Hey, the guy talking about bacon and all that and how fatty it was just reminded me of this crazy videos that these guys do on YouTube called Epic Mealtime. Have you checked it out?
No.
It's pretty crazy. They do this one called Fast Food Sushi where they're basically taking quarter pounders and cutting them up into cubes and then wrapping them with bacon and then baking them. And it's and they even have the little roll, a sushi roll thing out as well. And it's called Fast Food Sushi. And at the very end, the guy's on next episode, we eat a gun.
They're just awesome.
They make these incredibly terrible 30,000 calorie meals. It's insane.
I just get fat.
There's tons of them.
Sweet. I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's called Epic Mealtime. They're all over YouTube.
Here's what I'm going to do. Let's check out Kitchen Nightmares, and then we'll come back. We don't have as many drama shows. We have Fringe, but we also have Top Chef, the finale of Face Off, and we got some Celebrity Apprentice. But I'm going to skip ahead to Kitchen Nightmares, and then we're going to take a break.
Okay.
I told Bill I would not talk about the final episode of The Cape without him, so we're going to hold that over until Bill does a show again.
Okay, cool.
So let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. This place was called Down City, and the lady running this place was freaking insane.
She's nuts. Yeah, she's nuts.
And as I was doing these clips, I was like, what does her voice? She reminds me of someone. And I finally figured out who it is. It's Nurse Jackie. Or Carmela Soprano, but without that kind of Italian inflection. Just listen to her. I don't know. What's the actress's name who plays Nurse Jackie?
Yeah. Okay, yes. She does remind me of her. I didn't know who you were talking about.
I need my wife here for when I blank on this. But anyway, let's check this out.
Nurse Jackie,
this is great. Gordon shows up to the restaurant, and then he's like, oh, I hope this is better than the room service I had next door.
Yeah.
And she goes, wait, what are you talking about? And apparently they do the room service to the hotel next door. Well,
he knew that.
Out.
He's such a but he's awesome, though. I love it so much.
I think that this is a democracy, and it's not. If you cannot follow my rules, then get the f*** out. As long as you work for me, you do it my way. Enough said.
Can I get a week off?
The way of the highway.
She sounds just like that.
It's definitely why your restaurant's failing.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Abby has her blindfold on because she doesn't want to admit that she's part of the
problem.
Count the
cicadas.
Just give him... No, let me do it.
Abby acts like...
Whatever, don't argue.
Cruella DeVille.
I just want an answer when I call something out.
Abby is a complete psycho bitch.
Jeff Ramsey.
How are you?
I think you're going to get fired after the show
airs.
My name is Abby.
Abby, good to see you. And
you're
the owner.
I'm the owner, general manager, everything.
Yep.
My business partner is in here. He'll come in tonight.
Okay, great.
Yep, his name is Rico.
Right. So you're trying to disagree in terms of...
Not. Absolutely not. You would not want me to cook you anything.
Oh, really? And on a scale of 1 to 10, mark the food, what would you say? Where are we?
It's a 10.
Wow. That's wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Wow,
I'm starving because the room service next door was shocking.
Wait a minute. The room service next door was shocking?
On.
What do you mean it was shocking?
There's a little hotel next door, a little boutique hotel.
We do the room service for that hotel. What was the problem?
Honestly?
Oh, it's shocking. I didn't know.
That was embarrassing.
Why? What did you have?
This pissy, grainy soup that was stone cold. Hold on, it gets worse. Cupcakes that were
stone cold. She's such a jerk the way you described
it. Just like this ball of mush. Disgusting.
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 Whoa. I was like, oh, damn, he went there. He just really went there.
He did.
Impossible.
He really did.
That's impossible. That's a stone cold.
You're telling me I'm exaggerating?
I think you're one of those customers that I would fire immediately.
What the heck?
Fire customers?
I have.
Okay.
We should talk.
Well, let me sit down and eat you.
Can I suggest something?
I don't want you to miss anything, because if you're now telling me that that room service was you at your best, I'm myself before I start eating.
Wow.
Let me tell you that.
Wow. Wow. I don't know what he's talking about. Blah, 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 blah.
You think that... I love how just, like, she won't listen to a word he's... Because I always joke about, like, every week someone is in denial about, you know, I hope he likes the food. It's like, obviously the food sucks. That's why no one eats her. But this lady just takes it way up to 10 to 11 even. And it's just hilarious how she won't listen to anything he says. And she just gets more and more angry. And what I think is funny is all these waiters, like the waiter, the maitre d', they all think it's hilarious, because I wondered that as they show that intro and she's yelling at everybody, it's my way or the highway, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why would you work there? And I get it, is those guys all think she's a joke and just whatever. They put up with it, I guess.
Yeah, like they're like that one guy keeps coming out and goes, well, I guess she considers this food. But because he's talking to Gordon Ramsay, like he's all trying to be chummy with him. Like, hey, it's not me that made it, Gordo.
It's like, hey, you and me, Gordo, we both think this lady's crazy, right?
We get this world-class meatloaf.
So that meatloaf looked bad. It looked bad.
It looked like really hard Salisbury steak or something.
Yes, I was thinking the same.
I was like, is that like chocolate brownie or something?
What do you put on it? I mean, what was that brown sauce on
meatloaf? I don't
know.
It was pretty gross. And the here in this clip, he has some calamari that's like just all wet and slimy.
Slushy. They poured some sauce on it,
Let's go. This is where Gordon sits down and tastes the menu. Let's check it out.
Describe the food for me.
Comfort food, middle of the road.
Middle of the road?
When was the last time somebody sent food back?
Today.
Oh, today? Okay. Oh, you did? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I'm sorry.
Wow, 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 okay. Wow, wow, wow.
I'll look through the menu. Is this?
Could I suggest something or no? You don't want to make a suggestion?
If you're going to talk to me honestly, fine. If you're going to start, you know, going defensive.
Well, we're not going to get defensive. I'm just defending what we do here.
Now, yeah, it's Edie Falco.
Edie Falco,
you asked me to
thank
come here
you.
And look at this place to help you out. Let's get one thing clear straight away. Cut the...
Okay.
If you're going to sit there and start...
I'm not sitting, I'm standing.
I'm going to go for your balls.
Oh, my. She did that.
When you just told me 5 minutes ago that the food's 10 out of 10, the room service is perfect. Basically, I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to leave, unless you start telling me the truth.
I don't know where you're coming from. I really don't know where you're coming from.
Let me eat the food.
I absolutely think you're full of...
I've been here 5 minutes... And already, you're in denial.
I'm not in denial. I will back up anything my kitchen does.
It's a river in Egypt.
Fine.
What are you going to do,
Gordon? Can I order the food?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Go for it.
Appreciate it. Wow, what a welcoming. Yeah, welcome to Providence. Didn't know they did female cage fighters. Holy crap. So nice to see that friendly face.
Thank you.
Is that defensive?
Yeah.
It's scaring me. Okay, appetizers, calamari.
Yeah.
Crispy rings with hot sweet pepper sauce.
Yeah.
I'll go for some of that.
Okay.
You don't spell peppers like that either.
No, I guess you don't. I didn't even know it said.
How long have you been here?
3 years.
3 years. Three-way nachos. It says...
Oh, wait, I want to say, like, I love this when he goes, you don't spell peppers like that. And it's like P-E-P-P-P-E-R-S. So the guy goes up to Abby and he goes,
yes.
He was like... He said the peppers wasn't spelled that way. It's got three P's in it. She goes, it does have three P's in it. And it's like, no, no, no. He didn't explain that it has four P's in it. He
I thought the same exact thing when I was watching it.
P-E-P-P-E-R-S, three P's. You know, but he didn't, like, stop to explain to her, like, no, P-E-P-P-P. It's just funny.
And how bad did these nachos look? These nachos looked bad,
no,
right?
It's a potty in your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, if it's good enough to be put on the menu, I'm going to try it.
It's a party in your mouth, Adam.
Party in your mouth.
Okay.
And the, no, thank
award-winning
you.
Meatloaf.
That's our claim to fame.
Ready. Thanks, Josh.
That's our claim to fame.
Is this meatloaf. How you spell peppers in America? Three P's, because it's B-E-P-P.
Yeah.
There's three P's in it.
There is.
So you're
there is.
The waiter, yes. Dining room manager, yes.
Brilliant. And being the head waiter, how would you describe the food here?
Below par.
He said it was a 10. So I'm in for a treat.
Yeah.
She was born without a tongue.
Okay. Below par.
Well, this is the crispy calamari.
Calamari, yes.
Ooh.
And why is it looking so wet?
It's a sauce that they toss it in.
Just say that again. You fry
Don't
it.
Say that in a
they
sentence.
Fry it.
And then you.
Yeah.
And they toss it in sauce.
With the saucy balls.
And it's soaking wet. All the crispy batter.
It's soaking awesome sauce, Mr.
You know,
Ramsay.
It's not everybody's cup of tea. It's not mine.
Yeah, it certainly
this
is
guy
not
is
mine
so
either.
Pretentious.
However,
it's not mine. I'm cup of tea. Gordo.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm done on that one.
I love how he reports it to the other guys.
Soggy, chewy, disgusting calamari.
What do you say about it? You
spit the calamari back out.
They're all in a little group laughing. It's great.
What was he bitching
about? Guy's like, that's hysterical.
I'm going to, like, go at his throat today.
And this is what, a party in my mouth.
Murder him? Or is it
this is the party in my mouth.
Should be. Top plate very hot.
Slice
it looks dreadful.
Top layer is very hot.
Throwing up in my mouth. What a mess.
I'm taking it. That was one party you didn't want to attend.
It wasn't a party in my mouth. It was like a funeral in my mouth.
A funeral?
Yeah. And this is the award-winning.
The award-winning meatloaf.
Yeah. I'm excited. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Sounds
that's
good.
Disgusting. It's not even hot.
I'm sorry.
It's sort of lukewarm, solidified chunks of crap.
That's pretty much
delicious.
The norm.
It must be freaking embarrassing if you deserve this.
It is embarrassing. We set ourselves up for disappointment when we put award winning in front of it.
It's disgusting.
Can you be more specific?
That's true.
I didn't hear what he said. I'm going to have to ask him.
Can I have a word with the team? So, the food was shocking. Hello, Pa. Disgusting, dated. It's ridiculous.
I don't know what to say. Fix it. You fix it.
That's what you. Come on, Abby. How can I fix it when you stand there in front of your team rating you and your restaurant and your food 10 out of 10 dreamer?
I don't think it's as bad as you say it is.
Stop being in denial.
Can you be more specific about the meatloaf? What did you not like about the meatloaf?
Oh,
can you say something besides...
You're loopy.
I've been called worse than that.
Wake up and admit it.
Bring it on.
Oh, come on.
Bring it on.
Oh, God.
What do you mean, bring it on?
I love how nuts this chick is. It's great. She's completely insane.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Bring it on. I can take you down, Gordon Ramsay.
I'm not sitting here, okay? I'm standing, so.
Yeah, I love
it. And I'm right, and that means I'm better than you. That's like, wow.
Well, the one thing is the guy who is like her partner who shows up, Rico, he made it sound like he put more money into it, or he's got a lot of money sunken in this place. And I know, like, for a long time, he doesn't say anything as she's like, and, you know, she's like, you know, whatever. And, you know, he just wants to wring her neck. It's like, yeah, this is my money that
it's
you're
our
yeah.
money. It's yeah. not just yours.
Because later on, this, you know, when Gordon starts going through the freezer, and I know he probably would have been more subtle about this than had it started off on a better foot than this.
Yeah.
But he's like, might as well, I've got to show her how insane she is. So he goes to the freezer and starts going through all this old, like, there
gross.
Was one thing. What was that? It was like, was it
cheese of some sort, right?
Cheese.
That brown stuff at the bottom.
Yeah, brown stuff growing at the bottom. And he's
that
like,
was
what,
so
what
sick.
Is that?
That scares me, man. That really scares me.
And she accuses him of basically planting all that there, pretty much, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She goes, it wasn't
well, I mean,
like this
how
before.
Much was
and
it
how
there
much
yesterday?
How can you be? I had to put this here because I've never heard anyone like just go off on Ramsay like this. And then finally he like loads up the ammunition and then unloads on her, which is great.
Yeah,
it's very
it was
entertaining.
Awesome.
And of course, there's lots of dramatic music during this whole clip. Let's check
oh,
it out.
What, it wouldn't be the show without it.
Have a look in there. Look at the state of what they're cooking out of. Have you any idea what's in what box, what goes where? Over here,
it's like jungle
you've got
music.
A little bag of chicken carcasses. On this one here, you've got some raw chicken, cooked pork there. This is you with 30 years in the business. Yeah, hold on, it gets worse. I don't know what that is. Well, look at the cheese or something, but what is that there? What is that? What, you lost the words? The place is a filthy mess. Look, what is that? Lamb bones?
What is it?
Who's organising this? You
What's
haven't
a
got
lamb
a head chef.
Connected to you?
Jimmy is my head chef.
So we have a head chef. Before you weren't ready to confirm he was the head chef, all of a sudden we discover a mess down here. Now he's appointed.
Hey, Bill, why don't we just celebrate and just get out of this business?
Why don't we what?
It's like, I was talking to Rico. It has nothing to do with you.
Has nothing to do with me. Excuse me, what do you think I'm doing? I mean, I'm trying.
You're being a This wasn't like this.
Hold on
it wasn't
minute.
Like this. I don't
hold,
run a kitchen like this.
Hold on a minute.
Denial.
I am.
You stuck-up, precious little bitch. Let me tell you something.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Listen to me.
I'm not
listening. You're in denial.
I'm not in denial.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And you can't even accept it. Hey, you'll walk out again.
I am.
There you go. Flip the bird. That's your attitude.
Oh, she puts them off. You flipped the bird.
Sorry, but this wasn't like this before I got here. She's eluded that woman.
You weren't insane. You weren't, like...
Yeah, blame me all you want. Easy excuse, isn't it? You're insane.
I'm insane. You're insane.
You can't even admit
you're
the
You're insane. That refrigerator was not like that before you got here.
You're in denial. Flip out again.
I would never...
I told you, there's a winner in Egypt.
And those
like
bones,
that.
The mouldy lamb bones.
I don't even talk to my staff like
this. This is during business hours, too.
Yeah, I know.
She's like, I don't talk to my staff like that. She talks to them worse than that.
You need therapy.
So she's full of crap.
You're a disgrace to this industry. You would get out of my restaurant. Are you still here?
Not now, guys. Please, please, please. This is, too serious, and I'm not going to jeopardize 25 years busting my ass off in this industry to take that from someone so in denial. That refrigeration unit was a mess. Mm-hmm. Behind the line was a mess. I'm really sorry. Honestly, she's got to start listening.
I know. And I don't know how to make her do it. I really... I don't know.
If you want me to leave, I'm out of here.
Absolutely
Please,
not.
Don't leave.
Absolutely not.
Okay, scared. I need your help.
I've got a million
100%
in this place.
Support. 100%.
Okay, I'm gonna go for a walk. I'll come back. Okay.
Thank you. Good walk, Gordon. I'm not trying to be mean, but this guy had really dark, like skin on
like
his
a
cheek.
Bruise on his cheek, or
it
something.
Looked like somebody punched him in the face or something. What was that?
It, to me, it seemed like it was on both cheeks. I was kind of tripping out on that when I was watching
just kept
it
because
it looked. I don't know if they just. I don't know. It's weird. Did you guys see it on both cheeks or was it just one?
I saw it on one.
On one that I could tell.
Okay, so I was like, what did he do that on purpose? Like, okay, this is my new look. I'm going to put a little gray shadow here and a little gray shadow on the other
He's
one.
Really bad
know,
at putting on makeup, I guess. But, you know, when Gordon was going through the freezer, he would have said, what is this liquid in here? I would have been like,
dude, shut up. That is awesome sauce.
Oh, okay. That's supposed to be here. What's weird is after that, the guy goes to talk to her. They don't show any of it on camera. And she's like, okay, I'm more willing and whatever. So whatever kind of breakthrough they had, they didn't even show it on camera, did they?
Yeah, it was such a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Like someone obviously – it was probably Rico Suave. Sorry, I had to get that in there. It was bad, but I did it. He must have went and spoke to her and said
like,
something.
Because all of a sudden she was – this is my money?
She wasn't denying anything. She was open to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird.
It's like $1 million of my money. So you need to snap out of it. I'll just get rid of you. I'll buy your ass out now.
I think they both like the idea of it, like owning a restaurant, because it's like kind of like a status thing. And he's the one that could get the money through, probably because he worked for a financer or whatever. And she's the one that does like the running of it.
Wasn't it a gorgeous restaurant too?
It looked beautiful in there. It was really nice. I like the way the waiters were dressed. Their ties were a little too shiny, but other than that, it's pretty nice.
This is like the first one that they didn't really have to remodel or anything and fix it up.
Yeah,
it looked nice. It just had an insane woman there.
And the menu was too large too, which I'm sure they'll get
That's
to.
That's what they run into all the time. Yeah.
What did he say? Like 50 items?
Yeah, that's what is it? Denny's? Come on. Yeah. It's like at a place like that, you need maybe what, 12, 15 or something like that?
What did he put? Like 10?
Like eight entrees, six or eight entrees.
Like, they took 50 things off and they, he brought in one of his chefs again to help train him, which is always cool that they did that. So if anything goes wrong now, wouldn't it be Gordon's fault?
Not necessarily. I mean, when that guy was there, I know it was the first service that
Abby's fault. She's kind of crazy.
It would go back on her,
I don't know what he's talking about. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So what do you guys say?
I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Adam.
Well, I was just going to say, it amazes me after listening to your guys' show and hearing all these episodes of Kitchen Nightmares, like the amount of balls, not saucy balls, but balls that people have to just put their lives on the line, put all their money into a restaurant when they don't even know how to cook.
I know.
It's like It amazes me. I can't believe they do it. So I will say that, like, I would give them partial credit for being willing to try something, even though they don't know what they're doing. But at the same time, I would give them partial credit for being an idiot for doing that.
Well, then they tell a Michelin-starred chef
What happens is they always get caught in the debt where they're stuck. And they're just miserable. It's like they have ulcers, worrying about everything all the time.
Have you yet to see one that where they just like, dude, just fix us. Yeah. I know there's something
wrong.
They love
my boss.
fix our food.
It's like
I think there was one that was kind of close. You know, they were like,
well, it's like the wait staff knows the food. Nah, it's not that great or whatever. Yeah. He's like, really? But it's always the owner who's just, you know,
nuts,
delusional.
Yeah, it's weird. I think a lot of times they're lazy. Like, they don't want to do what it would take to make it. Like, there's no reason that refrigerator should have been like that. I'm a contractor, and my garage is cleaner than that. And I'm not – people aren't ingesting my work. You know what I mean? Like, my tools are cleaner than that garage.
That's the thing. Whenever I watch the show, I worry about when I eat at restaurants and the food isn't that great. I'm like, I bet their walk-in freezer looks nasty.
I worked in a
restaurant,
and I was I ran a salad bar, and I had to take all my stuff out once a week and clean. And that's what I did. My stuff was clean.
Thank God.
And I would eat out of it. That's what, you know.
The keg that my favorite place to eat is called The Keg.
That's the place I worked at.
Is it like the same restaurant, like kind of fancy or whatever, like really expensive too? Yeah. We can eat there like once every 6 months or whatever, but I love it.
It was a steakhouse that I worked at.
It's a really classy joint. I always get the rib steak.
I've heard you talk about that before. Yeah, that reminded me of this place out here that we have called Bing Crosby's. It got shut down, unfortunately, but it was legit. It was like super clean and really not good food. Like, it was like top notch.
Do you remember when Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec is talking about Mulligan's and the steak? You know, he was like fantasizing about the steak.
That's
the way I feel about The Keg. It's like, oh, that steak. It's a thing of my dreams.
I really feel like Ron Swanson now because that place got shut down and they have the best food.
Do you think there's this old steak like in the freezer somewhere? Like the boarded up door?
Do you watch Parks on a like you watch it weekly or what?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, it's a great show. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I would just go up there and try and sneak an overcooked steak. You know, I was like, it's
too well done.
Too well. I'll take this New York strip.
That is awesome sauce.
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we get back, we'll finish out the rest of our shows. What do you say?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Sounds pretty good. All right, guys.
Okay, I'm going to go for a walk. I'll come back.
French toast. To go. French toast sticks. Now that's breakfast. Burger King, the best food for fast times.
Give me an X.
X.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me Tic Tac
Toe.
Wherever I go, it sexes the nose. Makes me feel so hungry for my Tic Tac Toes. They're so tasty.
Chef Boyardee.
Tic 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 Tac Toes.
New Tic Tac Toes. A good hot meal. And when you get 3 X's or O's on your spoon, you win.
Tick, 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 tack, toe.
With and without meatballs.
Yeah!
I'm Kate and Allie.
You sold my dress for $29.95?
A dress shop gives Allie the cold shoulder.
Like I always say, pay retail.
Candid camera.
Then, did Sam give $50 to a hunk or a huckster?
It's just a loan.
He's gonna write me a check and pay me back today.
Now you and Mr. Rogers make a great couple.
My sister Sam, Monday.
Be awesome. Just say no. Don't let drugs screw up your life. It's expensive, illegal, and dumb. So when you're asked to join in, don't. Just say no. You're too young to die.
The fiber in Kellogg's Mini Wheats helps keep me flying right. But it's the delicious frosting that fuels my youthful appetite.
Small problem.
The shredded wheat nutrition gives me that drive. But the kid in me loves to tackle the tasty side.
Kellogg's Mini Wheats. Shredded wheat nutrition for the adult in you. Delicious taste for that part of you that'll never grow up.
The fiber in Mini Wheats gives me a great start. When it comes to the great taste, I'm just a kid at heart.
I'll have what she's having.
Stop.
start spreading the news.
Heard the news? Ounce for ounce, Philadelphia brand cream cheese has just half the calories of butter or margarine. So,
start spreading the news.
Rich, creamy, Philadelphia brand cream cheese. Since 1880, half the calories of butter or margarine.
Start spreading the news.
Ooh, something new.
Caramel layer through, pecans and almonds too. Ooh, turtle brownies, Duncan Hines. You know that I love you. I can't help myself. It's Duncan Hines and nobody else.
New turtle brownies and gourmet truffle brownies layered with chocolate. Who could resist them?
Can't help myself.
Oh, wow, does that pizza smell good?
My nose wouldn't know it's too stuffed.
Have a Halls.
Halls Vapor Action penetrates deep to help your stuffy nose feel clearer, while Halls soothes your cough.
Halls Vapor Action works.
Now let's work on some pizza.
Skinny sticklets, fat with flavor. See how skinny, taste how fat.
Sticklets gum gives you 9 slim sticks instead of 7 wide ones in a regular pack.
See how skinny, taste how fat.
Morris, come through your new door and taste a new dinner.
It's a trap.
It's new Hearty Ground.
Hearty, har, har.
See? New Hearty Ground dinner from 9 Lives.
9 Lives.
Morris, are you out there?
Not anymore.
Introducing new Hearty Ground dinners from 9 Lives. Hearty turkey, beef, and meaty meal. They're heartier than ordinary ground. More texture, more temptation.
9 Lives, I'd walk through walls for new Hearty Ground.
I want something round and crisp, buttery tasting. A taste so good, oh, nothing will take its place.
It's not just anyone, it's the only one that'll satisfy me. When I want a cracker, I want a Ritz.
When you want a cracker, one taste comes to mind. Golden Buttery Ritz Crackers. They're delicious anytime.
When you want a cracker, you want a Ritz.
Thanks, son.
The game Monopoly has come to life at McDonald's with a McDLT, Coca-Cola, or $1 million. Collect St. Charles Place, States and Virginia Avenues, and win a dream vacation. Collect these for a $250,000 home. Hello. Over $40 million in cash and prizes. Collect the right game pieces or win instantly. So play Monopoly. Do not pass go. Go directly to McDonald's.
Long John Silver's is the perfect place to learn the value of a dollar. Right, boys?
Mrs. Salmage?
What is this?
The seafood platter.
And these?
Fish, shrimp, clams.
Excellent! And the seafood platter's price?
$3.99.
Right! And that is?
Value. Can we eat now?
Long John Silver! May we eat now?
Sounds good to me.
Domino's Pizza delivers quality. It takes fresh baked quality to avoid the noid. We keep the noid out and all the quality in. So avoid the noid. Call Domino's Pizza now for hot quality pizza. Domino's Pizza delivers.
Friday. You've got front row seats for Journey, back together and better than ever. A CBS late night special.
You love things sweet and you watch what you eat. Get equal and you're sure to agree. Taste so much like sugar, use an equal set your sweet.
Only Equal has NutraSweet.
I've thought of skimping, but how could I skimp on a smile like that? So I buy Kraft Singles. Imitation slices use hardly any milk, but Kraft is made from 5 ounces per slice, so she gets calcium for strong teeth and a healthy smile. She doesn't know what that big Kraft means. Glad I do.
Singles, more milk makes a
good.
Skim skimp on that smile? Are you kidding?
You'd no more settle for a flake in your hair than a spot on your tie.
You passed the test. Your good grooming has the look of success. Your head and shoulders above the rest.
One flake can mean dandruff. Regular shampoos may rinse flakes, but head and shoulders protection goes to the source to help stop flakes.
And that's doing it right.
Your head and shoulders above the rest.
Friday, an all-new Kenny Rogers special. America's favorite country singer salutes you, the worker, in this unique musical celebration that'll leave you smiling. Kenny Rogers, Working America.
Hey, get freaking Frank over here! I'd like to thank Mulberry Bill for the break this week. He was not able to do the show, but he did make a break. Thank you, Bill. That was awesome. And I hope Adam's back. Are you back, Adam?
And I am.
Yes! Now, I want to talk to both of yous. Yous guys over here, freaking Frank! I want to talk to you about Celebrity Apprentice over here. Now,
Let's talk about it.
Celebrity Apprentice is, ever since we've been doing Nowhere Mulberry, we covered the first season of Celebrity Apprentice. We got to cover every season. There's something about the show. I love it. I sit there. It's almost like I don't watch it on Sunday night. Usually it's Monday. Drop my daughter off at work. Yeah, I have her working. Child labor laws are pretty lax here in Texas, Stephen. Got her working.
Sewing them Nike shoes.
Yeah. I drop her off at school. Sorry, at school. This week, you know, spring break, so she had to sit and watch it with me. Daddy, no, I don't want to watch this. No, don't you just watch this. It's a great show. That's Gary Busey. He's hilarious.
Oh, Gary Busey. He's beautiful.
But so I'm sitting there. You know, I get my breakfast or whatever, and I sit there and I enjoy myself. I watch it. And this week, they have to do a children's book and perform it as basically a play or something. So you have the men against the women. They make Lisa Rinna do it, and they'll tell you why. And Star Jones, who we know from the days of The View, and Dionne Warwick, there are a couple of pieces of work here, and you got to see this. But also we have Jose Canseco, who, when they're doing the song, he's just kind of standing there. You know, he's like an ex-ball player, did steroids or whatever. He doesn't have much going on.
He's like, take me out to the ball game.
He starts tearing apart their lyrics, and it's hilarious because his reasoning is just ridiculous. And, of course, we have the women fighting and stuff. And the main thing that happens here, I can't remember if it's in the first clip or second clip, but they're being difficult to Lisa Rinna. And let's go ahead and check this out. You guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right.
I want to hear it.
Is everybody ready? Did you make your decision?
Yes, sir.
I didn't really want to be the project manager, and everybody wanted me to be. There was really no other choice. I had to take this on. It just happened that way. I could have said, F*** you all, you do it, but that's not my style.
Did Lisa not want to do it?
She did not.
I think you'll do a great job.
Thank you, Mr.
Trump. I think it's a very good choice.
Thank
you. We chose Lisa because we knew she wouldn't be able to handle it. So we just thought the best thing to do is just get her out.
We just threw that stupid bitch right under the bus.
Little John's kind of quiet and not very tall. And no one talks to him when he walks down the hall.
Nobody or no kids?
Nobody.
Just everyone, even teachers ignore?
You get into semantics, I think, Jose.
This part is so stupid.
You know?
I think the teacher should know better than the kids.
Whoa, what's that about?
Is he creative?
I think a lot of people think I'm not creative because I was a professor in college. But I don't think people realize that I wrote two books and one was the number one bestseller. That kind of pissed me off.
Hey, guys, I don't like nobody because nobody includes teachers. And that's a bad message. I don't think teachers should ignore little kids.
But the teachers aren't normally in the hall.
Oh, yes, they are. Absolutely.
Gosh, yes, they are.
I think it's semantics. I hear what Jose's saying.
But when someone tells me nobody's talking to you, that means I include everybody.
So you're taking too literal.
Yeah. Jose, you ever heard of Columbine?
Jose,
Canseco smashes baseballs. He does not write rhymes.
Okay. Baseball, I get it. Now it's kind of fake help.
This little lion goes to each one of the animals. Mm-hmm. And can you help me? Can you teach me how to roar?
Where? Oh, yeah, I remember this. So basically, Marley Maitland's there. You know, she's deaf, children of a lesser god. And they kind of come out, why don't we integrate with their lame idea is a lion who can't find his roar. And what if he has a friend who's deaf or whatever? And she goes, that is sad. No.
Yeah.
You don't introduce that to kids. It's really sad. And they'll feel sorry for him. And they're like, do you feel sorry for Marley? Oh, no. And she wouldn't even look her in the face. Did you notice that? She's sitting next to her, turned away. And even at one point, the guy who's the sign language guy is talking to her, and she's like, I'm talking for Marley. Like, she's talking to him. Like, well, why? He's like, I'm talking for her. See, he's sign
and
language.
Someone even said, like, when you're dealing with Dion, you're dealing with a 70-year-old woman. And every time I saw her, she just – every time anyone would – debate with her slightly or disagree with her, she'd just look like, oh, you an idiot. You are an idiot.
She wouldn't
That's like
hear
the look she gave.
Just
it was hilarious.
This out.
Okay. Now this is getting crazy.
Here's another idea. We can include another animal that is hard of hearing, is deaf. And he signs or whatever and says, I can't help you.
That is sad. Okay. That's sad.
You mean not being able to hear
exactly.
Is sad? Do you think Marley's sad?
I don't think Marley's
sad. Who the hell's Marley?
Those kids will not understand that. Let's get real here.
Okay,
we're looking to give a story that's going to make these babies smile and be happy. And
ain't
not
no mountain high enough.
Because they will feel sorry for her. Okay?
I never took pity. That kind of stuff.
You did.
No, I'm talking for Marley.
Well, she may have.
She says you don't pity somebody who's deaf.
He's just sorry.
Who they are, even though they are deaf.
Marley was ready to attack. I mean, she was like, I'm about to lose it right now. It was like, girl, I will take out my earplugs and we will get to fight.
90% of them won't even know there's going to be a deaf person here.
We teach them.
She took them out, she can hear. Put
up a what? That's a miracle!
Barrier right in front of my face. And that attitude made me feel handicapped. Now, you have to understand, I don't accept handicaps. I go around barriers. Every day, I face barriers like this all the time. I mean, what she said was completely ignorant.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with her. Dionne Warwick is ignorant. She just came off insensitive and stupid.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's how some people from the old school are. You know, they don't
like,
they think it's sad. And
me.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Being deaf would be sad. So it's like, you're going to offend her. You think she's sad? It's like, I could see where she's coming from. But at the same time, it's just that she had that attitude that, like, if y'all don't do what I say to do, you guys are idiots.
Someone needs to tell that Nene lady that they're not called earplugs. They're hearing aids. So she's about to take her earplugs out. It's like, if they were earplugs, she was like, wait, I can hear. Hey, it works! Why am I wearing these earplugs? So it gets worse from there, because when they're doing the book, all of a sudden Star decides she wants, I want my name on the book. And then Dion's like, well, I came up with the concept. I wanted to say concept or conceived by Dionne Warwick. And Star's like, and written by Star Jones. And she's like,
so
what?
Stupid.
She's like, no, it's the whole team who did it. And Dionne Warwick was like, no, it wasn't the whole team. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then there's a great moment here where Jose and – I don't know why you sent Jose Canseco and and Gary Busey to go do something because they go to the wrong place and they're confused.
Wait. I'm sorry, dude. I want to mention this. This made me laugh so hard. During the part where when they decided to use Ray Vaughn or whatever that guy's name, I forget his name, but the lead singer of what the heck is it called? I can't. He's on the other team. He's a guy, Sugar Ray. Is that
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's like, okay, they're like, okay, you and the
Mark
country singer, you guys come up with the lyrics because that's what you guys do. You know, Meatloaf even said, like, I like that idea. It cuts to a talking head of Gary Busey, and he goes, Stevie Vaughn is the hood ornament on the car of creativity. And I just laughed so hard. It was hilarious to me.
You mean it's Mark McGrath?
Who's Stevie Ray? Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
He's the guitarist.
Yeah, Mark McGrath. My bad. I'm an idiot. You have to excuse me being an idiot.
No, we knew what you mean. We knew what you meant.
You know what I meant. Okay, good. So, but anyways, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny stuff, huh? I love Gary Busey's great. It's here.
Stevie Vaughn. He.
And it's funny.
He's funny. Dies in a helicopter crash.
That's not so funny.
No, but, by helicopter.
Oh, it all comes back to the helicopter crash. Oh,
my. Back to episode one.
Yes. Now, what I love is Jose Canseco. He seems like a very grumpy guy, and he's got poor Gary Busey there following him along on the trip. Let's check this out.
Jose.
Yes.
I sent you to the wrong place.
You what?
You're the wrong
you
address.
What?
Go down.
He's so pissed about an accident. It's like, come on.
Mother.
Can you believe this?
Kathy, Jose Canseco.
We are right out front. We're here. We're at 340 West 50th Street.
Well, you're insane. You're supposed to be at 210. That's why I know he's there.
Were we just now at 210?
210.
Hold on a second. We were at 210 for...
Broadway, I promise. That's the problem.
We were... Why aren't you listening? What? We were at 210 for 30 minutes straight.
Listen to me. I'm the boss. I run the theater. Someone gets a snap.
Your assistant's got to get fired. Okay? Let's go back to where we were.
Wow.
Jose, what is happening? What? Why did she let you talk?
Someone's going to pay for this. Are you kidding me?
People back at the war room don't have their phones on.
All of a sudden, I turn around and there's Eric Trump standing there. And I thought in my brain, I really don't have time for you.
It was very interesting to see the dynamic between Meatloaf.
Oh, you know, it's funny here because Eric Trump comes in and they don't want him to be there like, oh, no, we don't need this right now. And right when he walks in, he goes, how's it going, gentlemen? Gary Busey's like, what the hell's going on as he walks in? And so he's like, hey, Gary. Eric Trump's like, hey, Gary, tell me how everything's going. He goes, they send us over here, and then we don't know where over there. And the Meatloaf's like, no. Hey, Gary, we need you to come over here. And he's like trying to break it up from talking to Eric Trump. It's nice. It's such a train wreck.
And we're only 2 weeks into the competition.
I need you to focus because I got to get you out of here right now.
For what?
You're going to the costume shop, and you have 40 minutes.
We were told we were not going there.
No, but you're all going.
What the hell happened? Very much. When Meatloaf said, I need to get you out of here, I said, Eric instigated the conversation. I was just replying to him with respect.
I ask you in the kindest way. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I've just got to send you on your way.
Bad.
I'm sorry.
Dang.
On the cover, do you need Team ASAP?
You know what? Yes. I actually would like it to say Star Jones and Team ASAP. Okay? So I really would.
I did not feel right about having Star's name on the cover. The whole team was part of the book. The whole team wrote the book. They should get the credit.
Yeah, well, no question. Conceived by Dionne Warwick and written by Star Jones. No problem.
It seemed insane to me that Dionne wanted credit on the cover of the book when this was a team effort. I've been in the entertainment business for 25 years. I've never seen such attitude. I've never seen anything like that.
Because we all came up with this.
No, you didn't. No, you did not.
Well, the story was conceived by Dionne Warwick, written by Star Jones. That's simple, okay?
My thing is give credit where credit is due.
Okay.
Although we are a team, when the credit is due, give it.
You know what?
Take my name off.
Dionne dug in her heels, and everyone just stared at me. I'm working with a team that is not helping me, and so it's a sinking ship.
It's true. All the other girls were just real quiet.
I'm on the Titanic, and it's going down.
I expect you all to behave and not go to this place. Don't take me there. Don't you dare take me there. I'm not 2 years old.
I know you're not 2 years old.
Don't you tell me to behave.
Well, would you just stop?
No.
I'm sorry. We don't need that.
You do not
punch that old bag in her face.
What the hell is that?
Don't you cycle babble me and turn this around. I'm doing the best I can. Bring it on. I will fight to win, but I will not be taken down by a bunch of bitches. No way. We're done. We're done.
And you know, the thing is, the women lost their book. The print was too tiny, and just the judges thought the message was a little advanced for little kids of, you know, like, be who you are or whatever. It's like kids when they're little, they don't, where, you know, a lion can't find its roar or whatever. It was kind of lame. But the other message that the guys had was a boy who people made fun of. And what did he find? His confidence? ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. I don't remember. Something like that.
Yeah, I didn't. Unfortunately, I did not complete the show. So I don't.
It's 2 hours. It's a long. Yeah,
I know. Like, I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch the America's Next Restaurant like Jason was telling me about. I'd rather watch Celebrity Apprentice. I'm sure it's going to be much more of a train wreck. And I turned it on. It said 1 hour and 45 minutes. I'm like, what the H? I'm not going to watch all this.
Well, the thing is, because they gang up on her, on Lisa Rinna, when
which
she,
is,
you know, what upset me is
right.
If she knew right, she would have said, the book was written by and conceived by these two bitches here. So you can say anything you want about me. They're the reason we failed. But she was too nice and she didn't want to fight for herself. And she got, and you know, she brought it almost, she brought Star Jones and Dion to the boardroom with her. So it was them two sitting on either side, ganging up on her. And she just kind of folded. When she should have brought only one of them and somebody else.
Oh, yeah, that would have been more. See, I would have gotten rid of Star Jones. I would have brought her in because I mean, like,
no, you brought,
who are you kidding?
I'd have brought in Dion. You know, get rid of the old bag.
No, but see, my thought is she would be much less of a problem and be fired on.
Oh, and there was a great, you know, because we know Marley Maitland couldn't stand Dion Warwick, and she said, "There's Marley. Who would you fire?" And she was like, "Dion." He goes, "Dion, really? She's a living legend. Don't you know that?" And she goes, "How would I know that?" And he goes, "What do you mean? You've never heard of her?" And she goes, "I'm deaf." And he was like, "Oh, she's never heard her sing because she's deaf." And I thought it was pretty funny that she was like, "How would I know she's a legend? I can't hear her sing. She's just a bitch to me." You know,
I'm saying, I don't know who.
Any she's some old biddy that's like looking at me weird and telling me like crazy things.
Deaf people depress me. Now, guys, did the season finale of Face Off happen? Did you guys happen to watch this?
Yes.
I'm curious.
I didn't. Sorry, guys.
I'm curious if you watched any of the season.
I did not. No, I was at a point where it was on demand, but I just was like,
because I'm going to say it was a fun show. I really like it, and it has been picked up for another season. So we'll see some more.
That is amazing. Off. I'm really surprised.
And I can't wait till Marcel's Quantum Kitchen starts. And the reason I say that is because there's a commercial like every break for it. What's weird, okay, I looked. I already tagged it. It's an hour-long show. What is it? Is it going to be
it's
like
all the
cake
preparation.
Boss? He's going to be doing crazy type of experimental food stuff.
Right.
And I'm just curious. I'm going to watch the show, and I'm just curious what the hell it's going to be.
Well, and who is this Marcel? Is it?
Marcel
is Baby Wolverine. From,
yeah, Baby Wolverine.
Oh, it's
Top
that
Chef.
Guy. Nice. Okay,
yes.
Cool.
So we're going to see what he has. Now, on Face Off, I thought it was pretty cool how they had to do fairy tales, but also mix it
with
stuff.
Put a twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we kind of talk about that here. And let's go ahead and I don't talk about it. It's in the clip. They talk about it. Let's check it out.
We're going in to be introduced to our final challenge. And it's really nerve-wracking. It kind of feels like you want to vomit, and you're happy about it. So it's, you know, it's weird.
I'm like that all the time.
Hi.
Well, you should be feeling pretty good with yourselves because you are the final four. The only thing that is standing in between you and $100,000 is your final spotlight challenge. Dun, dun, dun. Your final challenge is to reinvent two characters from a classic fairy tale. The judges have very high expectations, so do not hold back.
I'm thinking, okay, this is great. I have to show my creativity and my ability to conceptualize if I'm going to impress the judges.
These fairy tales are Little Red Riding Hood, The Frog Prince, Hansel and Gretel, Sleeping Beauty, and The Little Mermaid. As usual, it's not quite that simple.
Just lay down.
Because there's a twist. You will also be choosing a theme to go along with your fairy tale. Your themes are post-apocalyptic, haunted, industrial, psychedelic, and outer space. And finally, you will be working with our production designer to create a complete background where you will pose your characters, essentially creating a living work of art.
Wow. Cool.
People have no idea how long it takes to get stuff done in the effects world. This is Mission Impossible.
Now, Steven, what did you think of Tate's Little Red Riding Hood post-apocalyptic thing?
It was a neat concept. I liked it.
I thought it was she had the Gatling gun.
I liked the Gatling gun on her hand.
Yeah.
It was cool. I liked the scar across her face with the goggles. That was cool.
It was a cool thing, and he did a werewolf, like this white werewolf.
With the glowing
and
red eyes.
Tate has more of a... Let me see if you think this, too. Through the whole competition, he kind of has, like, a teenager's kind of imagination with stuff, you know?
I think he's still kind of young, though, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Connor, he seems more mature. And I'd almost say Connor's makeup and stuff is really...
Fantastic.
Yeah, it has a more finished feel to it. Whereas Tate, even though it's good, it seems kind of rough around the edges to me.
Like, the Gatling gun was kind of rough looking.
Mm-hmm. It was cool how he motorized it and stuff, but, like, the one guy named Gage, who has all the piercings, he did the Hansel and Gretel, and I thought it was scary, creepy looking, but it was also a mess.
Yeah.
It looked like just, it made me want to puke in a way. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get why the jaw was dislocated.
Yeah, it had metal and pointy and springs and stuff. And the girl,
Sam. I like the from the inside, I guess, Hansel was
hands
pushing his way out.
Yeah. It was kind of, he had industrial Hansel and Gretel. But then the girl, she had psychedelic The Little Mermaid. What the hell can you do with that? But she shouldn't have chosen that, I didn't think. And I almost thought Connor was going to get screwed because he chose last in the pick, and he chose, you know...
The Frog Prince.
The Frog Prince, and it was haunted. And I was like, what the hell is he going to do with this? And also when they got to choose the old team members, he chose last at that too. I was
and
like,
he chose that Frank.
Yeah, and there was no drama behind it, but I thought, oh, big mistake.
Yeah,
man.
And I was waiting didn't choose his little girlfriend for makeup.
Now, he does have a little moment here where he kind of goes nuts because something goes wrong with his frog mask.
Burn it. It's useless. The whole back of it's collapsed. There's this air pocket about an inch thick between the foam rubber and the skin.
Oh, and he does this cool thing.
Was it on the front, too?
Yeah.
Where he puts the air
thing
in
the neck. I'm thinking I can't use this foam. What do I do? What do I do?
Connor's over there freaking out. He's in trouble.
It's collapsed everywhere.
So
the entire back is collapsed.
He does this mask of the frog, but you know how a frog can blow up the
bladder under his throat?
Yeah, he... put that in his mask where the guy who's wearing the mask can blow
He's
on this
got a
tube
and
it can pulsate. And it looks really cool.
But, that is awesome.
But I like the haunted was actually – it was kind of cool the way he did it. You know, it was like he's in mid-transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just like
– like this witch has just put a spell on him. He's transforming.
And the witch was an earthen witch or whatever
like
they want to call her.
Like she'd risen from the ground and stuff. It was really
cool. Oh, that's
cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's
you
like actually sounds good.
Industrial Hansel and Gretel.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you feel you did with this?
I feel really good about it.
It's a very, very funny.
No,
it's not an easy concept. Outside of the movie, cut and edited, you see it as a piece.
Hey, Connor.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So you had the haunted frog prince. How do you feel you did with this?
I know that the big issue with me was concept. And so I really pushed this as far as I felt I could.
So you have the psychedelic Little Mermaid of Hans Christian Andersen.
That's right.
So you have post-apocalyptic Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes, I love it.
So Glenn, who is the winner of Face Off?
Before we make that announcement, I just want to say something to you guys. You all succeeded. This
on Heroes.
You really
all
made this hard
it.
On us because we loved all three makeups. The winner of Face Off is...
Who's going to win it?
Connor.
Yeah, Connor!
You're contracted to make the next sci-fi movie.
Yeah, you're going to work on Sharktopus, too! No, the guy really was talented. He was more talented. And the one thing I noticed is that girl Joe with the stretch out ears, she kind of like rolled her eyes when he won. She kind of like looked up like, oh, figures. But one thing I wanted to bring up is when they have models in their outfits and they're standing in like a diorama, life-size diorama, they look exhausted. because they have a party and people are coming up and looking at them. And the
how long is this party?
The Little Red Riding Hood's holding a spear and got her machine gun. She's kind of like wobbling as they're sitting there looking at her. It's like, she, how long have these people been standing here like this? The werewolf's like, oh, come on. Can I get out of this outfit? It just, you can tell they're all kind of like wobbling. Like, God, I'm so tired. It's pretty funny. But that was a great show. I really liked Face Off.
Cool. Right on. I'll have to watch the next season when it gets when it's aired.
What you need to do is, Adam, watch the shows, then re-listen to the face-off segments on our show.
and then I'll make a special face-off Mulberry special.
Hell yeah, season one compilation.
Yeah, that's why I was like wondering what other, you know, he gets $100,000 and a lifetime supply of makeup or something, or a year supply of makeup.
Assuming he's going to get a job from somebody.
I mean, obviously it would be a nice calling card, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, definitely.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, all of the contestants who lost, they're like, you know, this is going to really just put me out there and good things are going to happen. So even Tate is like, you know, somebody's going to see what I did. And
so like Frank's gonna get
Roger Corman.
Roger Corman job.
Yeah, that's where everyone gets their start because they don't get paid shit, and then they get scooped up by somebody else
and actually learn something.
I guarantee you, half of them will get jobs somewhere. But most of them are already in the field doing something.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about Top Chef, a show that I love. What is there? Got to be one episode left, I guess.
Padma in a bikini.
Yes.
What?
And they're in the Bahamas, which looks awesome. They're staying at the Atlantis Resort. I mean,
that place is awesome.
I mean, come on.
That is awesome sauce.
It is.
That's where Chandler and Monica went for their honeymoon.
So it's funny because Richard, Blaze, and Mike Isabella, they think they're just waiting for the women to get eliminated. They're just like, So they do this opening little quick fire thing, and they know they're going to win it. And let's find out what happens.
So this is a pork bolognese sauce that usually takes a long time to make with fresh macaroni.
I made the macaroni myself.
Presentation-wise, the plates are pretty similar.
How did you portion each dish?
We had like a serving
spoon. Hey, it's a lady
spoon.
From Next Street Restaurant.
We did a filet salad.
I made a spice roll with a little bit of star anise and of dried chilies for the beef.
All these plates seem to look very similar, which is good.
To do Antonia and Tiffany's dish, I probably could have sent Richard to the store to go pick up a six-pack of beer so we could celebrate the win after I did it by myself.
So arrogant.
As our guest judge, please tell us who the winner is.
As a chef and a restaurateur, I'm going to base my decision on consistency and, of course, the flavor. The punch of flavor has to be there. I will have to give it to the red team.
This feels fantastic. And I think Mike and Blaze are sour grape salty losers. Ooh, they were mad.
Good job, guys.
Are you serious? A beef salad wins? Whatever.
That's hilarious.
How cranky they are. And then they have to go to this deserted island, and they have to snorkel for conch shells.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen this on other shows, how they take them out. I've seen, like, I can't remember what it was, but the guy sticks like a prong thing up and he twists it up and pulls it all out in one motion. I guess whatever the show was, it was pretty easy. He knew what he was doing. I don't know. But they're like banging on it with hammers and stuff, trying to get the
crack the shell out.
Have you ever had that, eaten that? Because it sounds kind of grody to me, the fact that they said it's the sea snail.
Well, they had I've been down to the Keys and they do conch fritters. I haven't had them, but, you know, I guess they just, you know,
I might have something that's
like fried clams or
like
something.
Fried or something, but that raw, because I've seen it where they do a salad. Basically, it's they pull it out, put it on top, they put a topping, and you eat it cold or whatever. I'm like, no. I don't feel like dying from food poisoning. Well, let's go ahead and check some of this stuff out. Okay, Adam? Does that sound good?
Well, that one dude
sounds good to me, buddy.
He was really good. He knocked a hole in it and threw it in the boiling water, boiled them, and then pulled them out.
Yeah.
Morning.
This is Captain Andy.
Good morning. We meet Captain Andy, aka Sammy Hagar's twin brother, maybe, and Padma in a bikini hanging out by a boat. So, good morning.
He's going to take you to your deserted island.
When I came up out of the water, it was like D-Day. I felt like I was storming the beach in Normandy.
Oh, my
Without
God.
Without the bullets.
And we see our ingredients, and it's some beautiful, amazing
Sure, guy
product.
Who was there on D-Day go, it's gorgeous. Nothing like that.
I see spiny lobster, snapper, grouper. I don't see any conch.
Where's the conch?
That's the conch.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. This is ridiculous.
I've never gone snorkeling. We have to go and get our own conch in the ocean.
Wow.
Get out of here.
There's sharks out there. I'm pretty sure.
Mike, do you know how to use this?
No.
I'm going in.
You'll be disqualified if you're eating.
Topless. And you don't either.
Jeez,
he's a slippery sucker, isn't he?
You don't want to see Mike without a shirt.
Calm down. You got this. Conch is a sea snail. And my plan is bam, 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 bam. Break that shell open as hard as fast as you can.
Help that, Richie.
Bam, bam, thank you, snail.
But I don't have a lot of experience with how to open up a conch. Never done it before. Because we can't get conch in the shell back home.
Got it.
You can really kind of hear this sort of orchestra of conch shell shucking that's going on. Bam, bam, bam.
All right,
Conch is a spiral. They all wrap their whole body around, and the hot water is going to kill it like it would kill a lobster. Like, it'll loosen them up in the shell, and I can pull them out a little bit easier.
You drop them in boiling water, come out a lot quicker.
I can't get these freaking things to come out whole. Not a lot of meat for a big conch.
About to go island style. I've never really worked with conch. Come on, you little slippery sucker. This is actually taking longer than I expected.
I'm running behind a little bit.
How many I need?
If I continue to struggle the way that I'm struggling, it could be a disaster.
Mikey, I love you. Tony, I love you.
Love you.
Oh, I hate everything that I do as soon as I do it. I think it's an artistic trait that just I want to just, I made it, I want to just smash it.
Tony, your time?
You've got 5:25.
Now kind of seeing what my That's competitors what are doing, and like that makes me nervous because there's lots of tropical things going on. I mean, there's fish in banana leaves and coconut milk. I missed the memo.
It was smoked conch, man.
I did a Hamptons dish instead of a Caribbean dish, so I'm nervous.
Ah, come on, Richard. Pull it together. What happens is Mike Isabella ends up winning. Ugh, I hate that guy. And then I'm going to say I was always annoyed by the guy. I didn't hate him or anything, but after that episode where he stole Richard's idea, I really don't like him, and I don't want him to win, and he seems to be winning all these final things, and Richard needs to pull it together. Poor Tiffany's eliminated. It's just ridonkulous, you know what I'm saying?
Her cold
oh no,
oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, so what'd you think of that, Adam? Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That's the good stuff right there. Sorry, I just feel like such a lame when I don't watch the show.
No, Adam, that's fine. You don't have to watch the show.
We watch way too much crap.
Yeah.
Honestly, like when I was watching this, when I was watching just the quick little shows I watched today, I'm thinking to myself, man, like, if I was on the show, like, more often, like, and I watched these shows, like, I don't know if I could actually watch these shows. I'm so glad I just get to, like, listen in on the NIM guys talk about it so I can know how stupid and crazy it is. But,
you could
it's like Cake Boss. I don't sit through Cake Boss. I'll watch bits of it, but I can't watch a whole episode.
What? You don't watch it? I thought you did.
I said the whole episode. I can't sit through.
It's only 30 minutes.
I know. 30 minutes too long.
These morons.
Hey, boy. Come on.
I got the perfect tool right upstairs.
I don't want to know what you're talking about, buddy. Now, Fringe, you watch that show, right, Adam? I know Steven does.
No, don't watch.
Let me paint a picture for you, Adam. There's these guys who are stealing strange minerals. I don't know what it is, but they seem to float like a helium balloon, even. They wear weighted boots, and at the beginning, they're robbing this joint. One of the guys gets shot, and he floats up in the air. So they're trying to figure out what makes this guy float. And it even has Alan Ruck from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Which is which one? Which who? What character? Cameron?
Cameron.
Yes, okay, of course. Cool. It's Cameron, buddy.
I don't know the actors' names. I was like six when that movie came out. I don't keep up.
Joe.
Oh my God! Showing your age there.
Well, I don't know what year was that released.
I was in high school.
I was in high school, yeah. What is that?
I was probably in Panthers.
84?
This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'll go.
84.
I'll go.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Aw. Cute little baby Adam.
But anyways.
She's younger than my sister.
God damn it!
Oh, Cameron doesn't like that. Aw, can you imagine cute little
Call
Adam
me
right
sir,
now?
Gosh.
But he looks so old now.
Call me sorry, sir, guys. God damn it.
Yeah. I dude, love Adam. He knows all the drops. It's genius.
Yeah, Jason, you play that so much on the earlier shows, and every time you guys start giggling and I start laughing, it's good stuff.
There's a lot of those old drops that don't get played anymore.
That's true. I was thinking the same thing.
It's nice you brought it back. Now let's go ahead on Fringe. You know, Alan Ruck, he's basically finding guys in wheelchairs and putting this drug in him. He's experimenting on him to make him float, and the reason being is because his son is crippled and he wants to get it right before he uses it on his son. It's really sad, and Walter is trying to figure it all out. Let's check this out.
Doesn't make any sense. There's nothing here that would alter body density. 235. Astrid?
Walter, I'm right here.
Pick him up and put him on a table. Body has dropped 3 feet in the last half hour.
Like a dying balloon.
Have you ever seen a balloon lose its buoyancy so inconsistently? No. Something is eluding me.
Walter, I can't...
I don't expect you to solve it, dear. It's a very difficult problem.
No, I mean him. He's too heavy.
Dear God! He weighs a ton. What? Take another sample of his blood. Run a test for osmium.
Well, you think that... Why would that make him float?
You can't, of course. That's what's troubling me. It's lutetium. It was mixed with the osmium.
Lutetium is dense, Walter. Extremely dense, just like osmium.
Correct. The two shouldn't even be able to form a molecule, let alone one that would make a human being float.
So, Walter, is this other element as rare as the osmium?
It's very rare. What are you thinking?
Well, if it's rare, then he's probably got a limited supply.
Meaning he's going to have to get some more.
So, Walter, whereabouts in Boston would he be able to acquire lutetium?
It's mainly found in meteorites. I think the perpetrator's from outer space.
Probably not.
Where do you think we could find it on Earth, Walter?
Well, he'd need several samples, so somewhere where there's an abundance of meteorites.
The Museum of Science.
The Museum of Science has an excellent astronomy wing.
I'm going to call Broyles.
There's this great part where the guy who's floating is robbing the museum to get the meteorite, and he starts floating up like, I can't hold on! And Peter grabs him in midair and like falls to the ground. I thought that was cool. But the main part of the story, or I guess it's not the main part, but the part of the story that's most important is that Walter figures out how to contact William Bell, Billy, by using the bell. And he's ding! And he thinks it's going to be the redhead lady. Can't remember her name right now. We'll return to it later, Stephen. I'll let you try to think of that. And he's like, Billy? And she goes, no. I love that word. It's not me. And cut to Peter revealing to Olivia that he's got all those memory disc things, and she's pretty much figuring out that he's had a hand in, I guess, killing them. I mean, you can see stuff going on in her brain there. And all of a sudden she hears that boo. And then all of a sudden she's talking to Peter as Leonard Nimoy. And I thought that was hilarious and great at the same time. I love that this show will do things like that. It's just fantastic.
They live in the moons of Viego, I think.
They do.
Who does? Who's he talking about? I don't know. I don't know. How do I get this phone to work, Steven?
Hey,
hit the nose.
Stop it. All right. I love Fringe. Can't wait to see it tonight. But Adam, I'm anxious to hear you, sir, do some news. What do you think, Steven?
Let's hear him do it.
I want to hear this guy do some news. Do you think
Let's do it.
You think you can do it, Adam?
Oh, I hope so, guys. I'm really going to need some encouragement,
though.
That
is awesome sauce.
Yeah, let's have some
awesome
sauce.
That's all I needed to hear.
Woohoo! Hey. All right, Adam. That guy Mike is such a jerk. Just ignore him.
I will. I'm going to.
All right, Adam, what do we have in the news this week?
Okay, this week in the news, two shitholes. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, I had to say that. All right. Wait a minute. By the way, I didn't catch this on my first listen through on the old school episodes, but Foggy made a clip out of you doing this really obscure laugh, and it went something like this. Like that. And I'm like, how did I miss this the first time through? It's so random and weird. Like, it's probably one of the only Jason drops that I've heard through the show, but okay, there it is.
I heard all that right. In years.
All right, this week in the news, Amish man accused of drag racing in a buggy. Police in Ashland, Ohio say they've charged an Amish man with driving left of center after he clipped a motorist during a horse and buggy race. Law enforcement officials say Jacob Raber was the man behind the reins when a horse carriage struck a car on Route 758 on Sunday. He was reportedly heading back to church, and he attempted to make a pass. But when the horse-powered vehicle crossed the center line, it flipped an oncoming car, according to investigators. Apparently, the guy's okay. Just a few cuts and scrapes. And his three passengers and the motorist escaped unharmed. So that's good.
Oh, good.
How was the horse?
No information in this story on the on the horse.
Dead Jim.
He's dead Jim. So there you go. There you have it. All right, here we go. Moving on. Scranton woman hides heroin, money, and loose change inside self.
What? Where?
Good question. I don't know. I'm thinking of a few places, but let's just delve into this article and see where it was. After crashing her car on Sunday, police said a Scranton woman suspected of burglarizing the Dunmore Inn was found to have a sizable stash of drugs and money hidden in an unlikely location. According to a criminal complaint, Dunmore police officer Anthony Colley asked Scranton police officer... This is useless. I'm reading. Sorry. What? Okay. After the lady's car was towed, her name was Miss McElhaney, was ready to leave the scene of the crash when Officer Callie contacted the other officer. What? I missed that.
He went for a bad joke.
A Skype delay.
Take out my earplugs and we get to five.
Oh, sorry.
He did a Macarena joke with her name.
okay, sorry. Anyway, so I guess the officer saw Miss McElhaney taken off, and he asked the other officer...
Go off. She kept having to cross her arms and put her hands on her hip. There's a joke.
Yeah, that's a Macarena. That's how you do a Macarena joke.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm a pirate, you know.
Okay. All right, hold on. I've lost my spot with all this laughter here. Okay, let's see. So after her car was towed, she was ready to leave the scene of the crash when Officer Callie contacted Officer Bowman and asked for Mrs. McElhaney to be detained because she was suspected of stealing items from the inn. After searching her for weapons, They found 3 bags of heroin in her jacket, but as the officer drove her to the police headquarters to charge her for possession, she was fidgeting in the back of the cruiser. So after a bit of a struggle during a more thorough search, they found heroin in her vagina.
That is awesome sauce.
Notice how I paused. I knew something was coming. A search of...
Wait, how do you get that out of her once you put it in there?
Hey, well, let me tell you. Let me tell you. A doctor comes in.
No, I don't want to know.
No, wait a minute. No. This story has just been cracked open.
That's not my style.
A search of Miss Michaelinas by a doctor at the community medical center turned up 54 bags of heroin.
It's going down.
I'd be 31
empty bags. Hey, Michaelinas.
31 empty bags to package the heroin and 8.5 prescription pills. And
no idea. We're freaking freckle with my cake.
And check this out, $51.22 in this woman's vajinky.
Holy, wait, vajinky?
Yeah.
I've heard of those.
They live in the moons of Diego, I think.
Ah.
Miss Magdalenas was charged with possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance.
No way. We're
and
done.
1 count of doing a bad dance.
What did you do? Like, hey, you got some change, lady? Hold on a sec.
And like the guys who use the little change before she pushes her belly button.
Oh my gosh!
I like the spit on
you. You froze a major. What black?
The picture of the little coin purse thing. So.
Yes, yes.
Tucky, the name, toasting the game.
All right, moving along.
So you're the waffle man.
All right, Adam, what else do we have?
Woman says her 15-foot dancing pole was stripped from Palm City home. You like that clever headline?
I
knew you would, Jason. I knew you would. A 19-year-old woman was gathering her things after a breakup with her boyfriend, and she noticed something missing. A 15-foot expert dancing pole valued at $400. The woman told a Martin County Sheriff's deputy on March 12th she was living with her now ex-boyfriend, and recently released sheriff's report states that she said they broke up the day – wait a minute. This is stupid. I'm sorry. I'm reading the story incorrectly. Basically, she goes down and tells them that they had broke up the day before and that she had moved out. The victim advised that she was working from 1 to 6, and when she returned to get her belongings, her 15-foot X-pole expert dancing – what? I'm sorry, guys. This is it's not written out very well here. It says her 15-foot X pole, expert dancing pole, was missing from the residence.
Someone's going to pay for this.
Yeah.
So someone stole her stripper pole.
Yeah, apparently. Okay, she said the ex-boyfriend told her he went to the store during the time she was at work and that someone entered the home and absconded with the dancing pole. Which the report lists as having accessories. Generally speaking, the article goes on to break down what exactly a pole would be used for. Generally speaking, pole dancing involves a sensual dance in the context
of really have to explain that?
Yeah, it's like, come on, like, geez Louise. A practice often employed by exotic dancers at strip clubs. While advanced pole dancing necessitates elevated levels of strength, stamina, flexibility.
That's like when they go up and their legs, they hang upside down and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I actually walked in on my wife watching a pole dance by a man the other day, and I'm like, babe, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, this is my cousin. He's gay, and he had it posted, and it just really got my curiosity.
I expected to be like, hey honey, wait, get out of here get out, shut the door,
I'm not finished. I would not have brought it up had that been the case.
Is that better though, Adam?
yes it would have been, I suppose.
Bunch of bitches.
All right. Hey. Oh, you know what, speaking of my wife, I guess this is a good time to tell you guys and all the NIM listeners, as if they really care, but my wife is with child.
Yay! Woo-hoo! Hey, congratulations,
second baby.
Anna.
We just went and got the ultrasound done, and everything looks good. And it's safe to share with everyone at this point. As they say, you know, they usually wait about 3 months or so. She's 11 weeks along. So,
how did that happen?
How did that happen? Well, you see, Jason, when a man loves a woman, they turn on some Barry White music and they get up. No, I don't know.
That's not how it happens, Adam.
That's Jason's favorite joke he likes to tell whenever someone tells him they're.
Darth Vader says you hit the nose.
What's that?
Darth Vader says you hit the nose.
Hey, hit the nose.
That's how you get a baby.
That's how it works. Okay.
No, whatever. Anyone,
that rough stuff.
That's my thing. When someone says so and so's pregnant, go. How did this happen? How?
It's a great joke. I think that when your daughter gets pregnant, I think.
Whoa! What are you talking about?
I simply meant, and no offense to you, but it sounds like a joke that a dad would make.
Oh, in the future.
Did you get that joke from your dad, Terry? Is that where you got it from?
Probably.
I don't know. It just sounded like honestly, it sounds like something my father-in-law would say.
Just the
and
cheesy
so
joke.
I just pictured you saying it to your son-in-law someday.
That's where I get it from. Anytime I crack a bad joke, like Macarena, it came from my dad, you know. But one thing I can say.
I thought you were going to say your father-in-law, but.
One thing I can say, Adam, about babies.
They're the most beautiful creatures in the universe.
Exactly.
All right. But, yeah, I wanted to announce that on NIM as soon as we got to the safe distance.
I'm happy for you, Adam. I really
am. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. And I'm happy you played that again. I mean, Foggy played that. All right, here we go.
I had nothing to do with it. I hate that drop. Okay, go ahead.
Police. Chicken Shack burglars busted in store T-shirts.
I'm about to lose it right now, sister.
What? Chicken Shack?
Stole Chicken Shack.
Lakeland, Florida. Police in Lakeland didn't have to look very hard for very long for a couple of men suspected of robbing the Chicken Shack. Tuesday morning, officers Tony Williams and David Kaiser responded to reports of a burglary at the Chicken Shack located at a place we don't really need to know. When police showed up, they found the business had been robbed of T-shirts, beer, and other property. A witness who called in the burglary also reported seeing two men running from the store and was able to give a description of the men. Short time later, and not very far away, the officers spotted a 35-year-old Chad Barron and 31-year-old Ricky Wright. Police said they were both wearing Chicken Shack T-shirts and had several more in a bag. The suspects also still had some stolen beer, minus what they had already drank. Both men are charged with burglary and grand theft. Now, I mean, like, what a thing to come down with charges for. It's like, what'd you get away with, man? Some Chicken Shack T-shirts and some beer.
I'm about ready to kill you.
Most of them were the wrong size.
I'm about ready to kill you.
Just the idea that a place called Chicken Shack. I love it.
Yes,
now back
I do
off
too.
And let me pee.
I wonder what their logo looks like.
Completely ignorant.
Probably like a house, like a little shack with like a chicken's head sticking out of it, holding like. Okay, I don't know. All
Would
right.
You just stop.
Thank you. I should. You're right. Okay.
Don't
police
listen to
use
Lisa.
Taser to subdue sword carrying man.
Awesome! I love whenever there's a sword in the news.
You know, when I was reading this story earlier, I was like, "Police use taser." Okay, whatever. So, a sword carrying man. Awesome. So, anyways,
we don't have the sound of shing, and we really need that on the show. So.
Excellent
I just think
point.
It would make the show way better.
Maybe Swiley can send you an MP3 of that.
That would be sweet.
He's good. He's good with that research. Like, man, the other. Okay, wait a minute. Let's just the post or the thread inside the forum about the weekly show discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Swiley does an amazing amount of work for that.
Right.
Like that is it's awesome. Like, I can't, like, okay, so not only do I enjoy listening to this show.
That is awesome sauce. But,
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome sauce. I want to spread it all over a club sandwich or something. But like, I really do enjoy now going in there.
Yeah.
And checking that out, dude.
And that's true. Like, the longest time you didn't really peruse the forum, did you?
No, I didn't.
So, like, if you go back to those old episodes, you see all the work you put into that. The feedback is really awesome.
Yeah, and like, one of them is, man, I can't even remember the name of it now. But someone was, it was when you guys were talking about killing younglings, and then he had a picture of some beers called Younglings.
Yeah.
And said, like, I've killed a few younglings in my day. I'm like, I have to have that beer now. That is so awesome. So, mad ups and props to the Swiley Meister.
Yes, he's the man.
Yes. So, let's get back to this poor sword-carrying guy that got tased. That is sad.
Okay.
So, he got tased, right?
Don't tase me, bro. Yeah, here we go. Yes, I totally thought of that clip when I saw her on Celebrity Apprentice. Police shocked the local man with a taser gun on Friday after he failed to move away from a sword he had been carrying and submit arrest. A Cumberland Farms clerk called police around 5:15 to tell them that a man had come into the store with a sword tucked in his pants.
Whoa.
Officers responded to the scenes, saw the man walking with a sword blade partially visible from under his jacket. The officer approached him. The guy refused to put the sword down. He finally did drive the sword into a snowbank, but when the officer ordered him to move away from the sword, he wouldn't. And he tried to search him for more weapons, and he continued to resist arrest. So that's when they tased him.
So, Foggy, you're telling me we don't have any sword drops? That's not the same. No. Pretty lame. Lame sauce!
All right, apparently this guy has a lengthy record, and, of threatening people with dangerous weapons, burglary, disorderly conduct, violating a protection from abuse order, and he's being held without bail.
Bam. Good. You should
never held without bail in the county jail.
You should never wield a sword unless you mean to decapitate somebody. Am I right?
Yes, I agree.
Like Steven Seagal, he's good at the sword, I believe.
The samurai.
The summer.
All right, that's all I got for the news, guys. That's right.
Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate you doing the news. And let's give a shout out to Bill, who found those news stories. And
yes, I really, you know, like when I did the stories before, it's hard to find ones that you think that people would like to actually hear about or that would be funny. And I was relieved when you sent me these because I'm like, woof, because Bill does a great job picking them out. So thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Bill. I pick out ones about crashing helicopters. So.
Yeah.
Got this. Okay, we got back to Katrina somehow,
like,
here.
Steven, why are all these stories about helicopters? I don't think we can use these.
It's so funny, though, man. Like, I can't wait till you guys listen to the thing me and Ross are doing, because we really, like, Steven, we dissect the segment and we really get into it. It's like, it's amazing, man. I can't wait to show you something.
What the hell's going on? Adam, what is this?
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
Genius!
I'm having a tough time not saying anymore about it because I don't want to like ruin what me and Ross are trying to do here. But I could just go into it and say a lot, but I won't. I will hold myself back here. So
I can't wait to hear it, Adam. But don't you guys ever wonder about who was flying the helicopter?
Good question.
And my name is Anakin.
Oh,
that explains a lot. Okay.
Oh, he is a pilot.
How long has he been a pilot?
Oh, look at Steven setting it up.
They live in the moons of Diego.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, Foggy.
Boo.
Godzilla the Hutt.
No. I think he shorted him out, Steven.
Oh, Foggy.
They're the most beautiful creatures in the
universe.
I set him up, but he let me down. Foggy.
I was glad to meet you, too.
All right, Adam, thank you for doing the news. What do you guys say we do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
Come on, Adam!
DVDs, HD, Blu-ray,
standard definition!
DVDs!
Woo! The DVDs, everybody!
Dude, shut up! That is awesome sauce!
Yeah! All right, Adam, what DVDs do you have this week?
All right, let's get into this here. We have a highly anticipated DVD being released. I forgot to set this up properly. DVDs for this week, the week of March 22nd, 2011. Garfield 1 and 2 Fat Cat Double Pack.
Complete psycho bitch.
So for the cataphiles.
Yeah, for the cataphiles.
Yeah, I tried getting my son to watch this. Uh-oh. It didn't work out very
Sounds
well.
Like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, that's Garfield hates Mondays. Hey.
Wow, I didn't even pick up on that. That's good.
Notice that's why I explained it.
Now, I have a question. Did Bill Murray voice the original one?
Yes. No, I don't think
the,
so.
The first one?
It was just a guy who kind of talked like this, but
no, I don't mean the first movie, Steven. I mean like the cartoon from back in
the
day.
Oh, no, no.
No, okay, cool. All right. Yeah, so, but apparently he does the voice in these ones. So.
Oh, remember it was a guy, he kind of did you know, he had that distinct voice, kind of talk like this. Hey, Odie.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
yeah.
Do you guys remember what else? Okay, he hated Mondays, but what does Garfield love?
Lasagna.
That's right.
And sleeping.
You interrupted lasagna night.
Oh.
Lasagna.
Yeah, so does Garfield. And who doesn't love Odie, right?
Garfield doesn't love Odie.
There you go. Flip the bird.
Yep. Oh, you flipped a bird, Adam.
Not much to say about this. It's just when I saw it, I really wanted to bring it up because you guys were probably maybe not watching cartoons at this point, but like there was a Garfield and Friends. Do you guys remember that?
I've seen it on the Netflix. You know, on the-
oh, really? It's on there? I didn't know that.
But
it's
you
like,
know
it's,
what?
It would be like a 15 little quick episode of Garfield, and then after there was like this barnyard show. It was like,
oh,
had a pig.
I do vaguely remember that. But I got to tell you this, Adam. This is how old Steven and I are. Garfield started out as a comic strip in newspapers.
I remember that as well. But
newspapers are these papers that had the news in it. You would get it on your doorstep.
They would throw them into your yard.
Is that what I found in my grandpa's garage when we cleaned it out? Wow.
What are these things?
Is that what I always see stacks and stacks and stacks of at Starbucks because no one takes them because they have their iPads
yes,
reading on now?
Exactly.
All right. Another big release for this week is Robots coming out on Blu-ray.
It's very, very frightening.
Oh, Robots, the old... It's,
Robin Williams.
Yeah. I've seen that a lot of times when Emma was really young.
Yeah, Drew Carey, Ewan McGregor, Halle Berry, Greg Kinnear, Mel Brooks, Amanda Bynes.
It's pretty wacky stuff, yo.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was okay. It's an okay watch, I guess. Yeah. I wouldn't personally buy it. But really, the movie I want to get to is The Sandlot, coming out on Blu-ray.
The Sandlot.
You guys ever seen that?
No, but I know what it is.
I love this movie.
It's one of Bill's favorite movies. Mulberry
Bill.
Where
they play the baseball in the field.
Yeah,
next door.
Yeah. And the dog gets the ball or something.
Yeah, it's like a coming of age story. And
what the hell happened?
It's just I love it, man. I really do.
It's the younger guy's Stand By Me.
These morons.
But it's all about baseball, you know. And at the time, I went and saw it at the Dollar Theater with a friend that I played T-ball with. And it was just like – the thing is, too, it's not like – some of these kids' movies can be so cheeseball. But this one I'm sure has some cheesy moments. But it's made well. Like the movie's actually made well.
Oh, yes,
like,
they are. I think
it's like, you know, coming-of-age kid stuff, right? Like if I love The Little Rascals, am I going to love this?
Yes, you will. And I guess it's not really coming of age. It's just I guess that might not be the best way of describing it. It's just
over
the summer. You
it's
know, the
a snapshot of a summer.
Square.
Right, I got you. I love those kind of movies. So yeah, I'll check it out.
No, honestly, like it's worth a watch. Like, and your daughter will love it because like I remember my niece loved it when she was younger. That's all she wanted to watch every time she came over to the house.
Cool.
So. It's definitely worth it. You should check it out.
You know
it's a great
movie. I'm
going
to see if it's on the Netflix.
It may be, and it's got a lot. It's got a great soundtrack because it's based in the '60s, you know, and it's pretty cool. It's good fun.
Cool.
All right. Skyline coming out.
Oh
on
yeah,
Tuesday.
That's aliens and stuff in that movie.
Oh, I mean the CGI is just phenomenal.
I'm hey, our sarcasm meters are going off the charts here.
The needle is like in the red.
That's one thing, you know, the movie, I can tell it's a low budget actioner with alien stuff, but come on, I'm a sucker for that. I will check it out.
All right. Yeah. I guess. Whoa.
Oh my God. Oh, okay.
Speaking, Steven, of Stand By Me, that's also coming out this week.
Ooh, hey.
Yeah, it's the 25th anniversary edition on Blu-ray.
Hey, what is that? Stand By Me. Okay. I love Stand By Me. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I like that movie. It's very good.
But you know what?
Good.
After that movie came out, when I see a movie now, and I mean like the last 10, 15 years that has the song Stand By Me in it, aren't you like, whoa, time out. You cannot have that in your movie. That's what I felt about
it. It's over with now.
Yeah, it's been in Stand By Me. You can't do it. Right?
I'd go with that. Yes.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Why do this? Well, thank you. All right, I'm off my soapbox. Let me step down here, Steve.
All right. The next release is The Tourist, coming out on Blu-ray with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie.
The Tourist. Where have I heard of that before?
They live in the mild of Diego, I think.
No, it wasn't there.
Oh, my. A mild-mannered American on vacation in Venice, Italy, is befriended by Elise, a breathtakingly beautiful woman with a mysterious secret. Don't want to watch it at all.
Now, let me ask you this, Adam. Is it did you say The Tourist or The Tourist?
Wait a minute. Let me just The Tourist. The Tourist. I don't know how I say it now. I'm confused. Tourist? Tourist? Tourist. I don't know. You're going to have to.
I don't know how I say it either anymore.
The Tourist.
The tourist. I don't know. I can't figure out how I say it. I don't know.
You know.
I have to wait for the playback on the podcast.
Yeah, on the reel to reel. You know what I'm saying?
That's you know, have Foggy play it back for us. Okay, Jason. I know that you are gonna want to run right out to your DVD depot or your Ernie's DVD
Depot.
Shack
okay.
down there in Mulberry
in
the
exactly
Mulberry Town Square Circle.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been to a video store in 20 years. Okay. Best Buy.
DVDs were coming out and were really, really popular. Like I would see them.
Steven,
we
got to get there early. Come on,
there's
all going to be checked out. That's a conversation Steven and I actually used to have.
20 years ago.
Anyways, Yogi Bear coming to Blu-ray this Tuesday.
Hey, boo boo.
Oh, wow. That was kind of aggressive.
Hey, boo boo.
As good as the movie version.
Thank you, guys. Now, I know for a fact we do have a Yogi drop. Come on. Come on, Foggy Dewey. Huh? No, not that Yogi. That's the
flying
yogi. Yeah, the humping yogi, I guess. No. But I have seen Yogi Bear, Adam, believe it or not.
3D? Did you see 3D?
I saw it in 3D.
You did?
I did!
How was that? I remember you guys talking about it.
I saw it with my daughter. She enjoyed it, and she laughed at the part where you see in the trailer where Yogi's on a train, but his butt is bouncing on a fence, like going boom, 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 boom. That was height of hilarity to her, and you know, I was there and for support.
And was it worth it all to hear her little giggle?
Yes, it was.
Then you know what? I'm glad they sunk millions and millions and millions of dollars into it as opposed to feeding starving children.
You're right, Adam. This was much better than that.
All right. Well, that's all we got in the DVDs, guys. That is a DVD segment.
No, where's the Blu-rays? Come on. What else we got?
That was
Blu-ray. That was a Blu-ray too. That was a Blu-ray.
Ah, boo!
What? Wait, I missed something. I don't get it.
The Yogi Bear was a Blu-ray.
Our DVD of the week is
Bam Bam Bam.
No, not the Flintstones. Yogi Bear.
And it's coming out in 3D. They have a 3D version coming out too.
Nice.
$40 they want for it. $40. Yogi Bear 3D, Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray DVD digital copy.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
They're just begging people to not BitTorrent their stuff now. All that stuff you get, that package.
Hell yeah. And it comes with a digital copy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Awesome.
Well, that's all I got. DVDs and Blu-rays.
It's not a game.
All right, sorry.
It's not a game, Chucky.
Wait, no, it was Dougie.
You're right. It is Dougie.
Ross just sent me a text message yesterday that said, it's not a game, Dougie.
It's not a game, Dougie. That's right.
Who do you work for? Who do you work for, Dougie?
Ninja Star to the head.
Ooh, ninja star to the head.
Yeah! All right, Adam.
Ninja star to the head.
Now, say what these DVDs were for again.
These DVDs were for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2011.
All right, Adam. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Appreciate it.
No problemo.
It kind of feels like you want to vomit, and you're happy about it.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week.
Don't know what that means. Apologize for that, Adam. I can play this on the banjo.
Talking about blah 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 blah.
All right, everyone, that was episode 231 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for listening. Adam, thank you for sitting in on the show with me and Steven. I appreciate it.
You are very welcome, and thank you for inviting me. I always enjoy myself being on the Nowhere and Mulberry show.
Anytime, buddy. And I should have said Steven and I. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. Go to Nowhere Mulberry. NowhereInMulberry.com. You can find a link to Mulberry Old School, which is in our forum. While you're in the forum,
join the forums, people.
Comment.
Come on.
Adam, go ahead and tell us what you think of the forum.
You know, I don't know what it was when I first joined. I just I guess I didn't really know
this
how
like
they
one
work.
Of those,
it's not like it's very complicating. Ross is the one that really
went to forums before recently. But once I saw that forum, I knew I had to join that forum. Right, Adam?
Yeah, exactly. But I think like Ross said, dude, you got to get on there. I'm starting a trivia thread and no one's responded yet, and I want you to respond and put another question up just so that it'll kind of get some steam going to it.
Yeah, it was awesome. You got to keep it going.
Yeah, and after I did that, I'm like, oh, so I just kind of got familiar with it, and now it's like I haven't checked it in a few days, but I feel like such a douche when I'm on Facebook all the time. Like, why is this even important to me? Like, I am so much more of a fan of like the Nowhere and Mulberry podcast than anything that these people are talking about on Facebook for the most part. So I'm like, I'm just gonna invest more time there.
Do you feel
it's
like I do, or I'm on Facebook, I'm like, I got nothing to write, I got nothing.
Yeah, that's how I feel a lot of times too. So I haven't even posted a new question, but I think I've got one brewing, and it's going to be I'm going to post it. It's going to be, why was Steven reluctant to join Twitter? That is the question that I'm going to pose to the forum. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it's great. Reason. I love it. I wish that like Rick would get in there and more people would join in. You know, it'd be fun and maybe get some. We should come up with some more stuff to do like the NIMH trivia. Like
I think so
Ross
too, yeah.
was also thinking about. You know, he knows Bill's a bit of a foodie. Maybe throw up a recipe for Bill and then see if he could try it, and then or
Don't
even
throw
if
it up.
He could try.
You want to eat it? It's good.
Lukewarm, solidified chunks of crap.
Yeah, don't throw it up, please.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I don't know, other things like that, just to get people more involved.
That would be cool. I would like that. Yeah. More of a dialogue going on there. We used to have in our old forum where we would be like, ask Jason, Steven, or Bill a question, anything, and you could ask us that. That was kind of fun. But that's kind of presumptuous to think that anyone wouldn't ask us anything, so...
I want to ask you guys a question right now. We know how Jason and Bill became friends through Star Wars Galaxies, and we know that you and Steven have been friends for a long time. And right. I think it comes down to the frame shop, but I'd like to hear the story. Like, me and Ross started hanging out because my dad built a house, like, three houses away from his parents' house when we were in junior high. And then just living so close, we started hanging out a lot, and one thing led to another, and we're just best friends. But right. I would like to know kind of how your guys' relationship took off.
I started working at a frame shop in a craft store. And Steven was head of the frame shop.
I was the supervisor.
Yeah.
Is this out of Michaels?
MJ Designs, which is, yeah.
It was a split off from Michaels, which is no longer around anymore. Went out of business. But worked there for like 13 years for the company. Steven, even longer for the company.
15. Yeah.
Yeah. Not at the same store that whole time, but for the company, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Long
and so then
time.
He and
I worked together
as the manager.
Yeah. And we just goofed around a lot.
We had such a good time there. We had similar personalities and taste in movies and whatnot.
You know what? Fridays, I'm not kidding, would be let's go rent some movies from Blockbuster or even video game.
I worked the day shift. He worked night shift. So I would show up.
At
nighttime.
People would say it all the time. Why are you here? It's like waiting for Steve, waiting for Jason.
Steven looked like that guy that always shows up to his work on his off day so that everyone that works there can see what he looks like in his normal street clothes.
Oh, you should have seen it when I cut all my hair off. Nobody recognized me. I had real long hair.
But I remember, Steven, we would get Jack in the Box or whatever, chicken taquitos.
Oh, nice.
Remember this? Oh, okay.
A 2 liter of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, well, sometimes I would get a 12-pack. You would get a 6-pack.
Mm-hmm.
And
he'd wind up drinking half
of
mine.
Steven, let me have one of your beers. I would drink. All 12 of mine. But there was a time where, like, okay, cut. I'm sick of going to work with a hangover. Instead, we're going to do candy. So we loaded up on candy. We each had like our 2 liter
of
Coke or whatever
soda. We had a pile of candy of chocolate bars or whatever
Reese's,
it was.
All that stuff, Skittles. Next day, I think I had a worse hangover. It's like, oh, my head. It's sugar hangover. Oh.
We'd stay up watching. I would bring over the shows.
Bad movies.
That I had taped during the week. Instead of a DVR, VHS.
We'd watch VHS recordings of 90210.
Red Dwarf.
Melrose Place.
Melrose.
Even where for a time, Models, Inc.
Models, Inc.
Watch all the bad TV. That's how it all started.
Man, honestly, like I got what I was hoping for. That was like you guys painted a picture. The fact that Steven would record these shows on VHS,
yes.
Looking forward to the Friday to come to hang out with his buddy. That makes me a happy camper to hear.
Sometimes something would happen, Adam, where we'd watch like four 90210s on a Friday night or something.
Or we find out a special movie, Dead Alive. We watched it like three times in one night.
Or, you know, we'd get
You guys are insane. How could anyone do this?
Or we'd have some two-player Genesis game and play
Yeah, Genesis two-player games. Nice. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
We watched Dead Alive, and some friends came over.
We got to watch this.
You
got to
see this. And we rewind it, watch it.
Yeah.
And somebody else would show up. Oh, I'll rewind it again.
I still remember this. There's this movie called Ticks. with Alfonso Ribeiro. And it was the big climax of the movie. You know, there's giant ticks. The phone rings. I run out of the room. And I remember, I don't know who I'm talking to, but Steven's like, Jason, you got to get in here. You can come in here. Like, I'm missing this. Pause it. Stop it. Oh, my God. I'm missing ticks. Who are you on this phone? You're ruining my night.
No, the funny portion of that was getting the movie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, get this. Steven, like, we're going to watch Ticks tonight. I'm, like, at work going, after work, we're going to watch Ticks. Okay, we're gonna stop at Jack in the Box. I'm going to get my 12-pack. Steven's going to get a 6-pack.
We're going to go to Blockbuster, get Ticks.
Get Ticks. Ticks, we get there. Gone.
We get there. There's one copy.
Go in the afternoon.
No. Hold on.
Work, Steven.
No, we get there. There's one copy. There's a guy standing in front of it. He picks up the package, reads it, grabs the movie, and starts walking around with it.
And we're like, no,
it's the only copy. We're like,
and they're like, but.
And I stalked this dude.
Yeah, Steven's like, wait, he may put it back. Because, you know,
he's going to find something better.
How many times, remember in the days of video stories, sometimes you pick a movie, you walk around with it, and you're like, I don't want this, and you put it back. That's what we're hoping
That's why when I would always check with them, and they would say, we have a copy in the store, and I would scour the shelves to find it.
So
I've been there.
Steven
I stalked him for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm standing at a distance kind of looking at him, you know, kind of perusing the Genesis games. Nothing really good there.
I'm the next aisle over hoping he sets it down on another shelf, you know.
And then
He picks up another movie. He walks back over and sets Tick down. And I'm like, as soon as his hand was off it,
Steven grabs it. He holds it up. And I'm like, yes! Woo! Ticks. It was awesome. That was like a triumphant Friday for us, man.
Oh, dude. That is a great storytelling, you guys. Like, that is really what I wanted to hear. That is such a great story.
I think the word you're looking for is sad or pathetic.
No, it's not. It's really not. Because what would you have rather done? Like, be able to tell that story or say, like, you went to some sleazy bar and nailed some skanky chick.
Oh,
right.
we
definitely
didn't. We don't have that story, but we do have the party stories we went to. So
yeah, later
well, still though, it's not sad. It's awesome.
But I gotta tell you, I remember all that time fondly, Steven, as we would watch bad movies,
and the fight over KFC skinless chicken.
Yeah, we got that story too. Back in the day, they had KFC extra crispy, but also they had skinless.
And that is weird.
Steven, to this day, was eating my chicken. And he was like, no, this is skinless. I'm like, no, it's not. That's extra crispy. You're eating my piece. No, it's skinless. There's obviously skin on that chicken. I always remember that. Gold.
I can tell, though, like, Jason, when you just said that it's fond memories. I can tell in your guys' voices. When your guys are telling the story, I can tell. You guys both look back on those days and, you know.
We've had so much fun.
Steve and I could do, you know, like they recently had that Topher Grace movie where it's like One Night or Take Me Home Tonight.
Take Me Home Tonight.
Steve and I, we could totally write one of those movies. You know,
based on your crazy antics from hanging out together.
Yeah, we would push it all into one night, but everything over time would all be in one night.
That'd
be
gold. That's how most of those stories are told anyways.
Yeah.
True events embellished into one package. That's great, man. I appreciate you guys telling it, though. That's cool. One other thing I wanted to mention just real slightly, and it's really off topic now, but just listening to these old school episodes when they're talking about when they're doing this The Apprentice, you and Steven do some of the worst Donald Trump impressions I have ever heard. It's so
bad. Back in the old days.
Bill calls you on it a few times. Bill's like, what? Those are the worst impressions I've ever heard.
When it started out, like, I was actually doing more of a Mayor Quimby from
JFK almost.
Yeah, yeah. And then it turned. I think now it's much better, you know.
Because now you focus gotta do on is how loud talk. He is.
Yeah, just loud talk or whatever.
Yeah, but back then, like, even Stevens was so bad, dude. Steven, you're like,
well, that's
you're
it.
Like,
we would...
I am Donald Trump. Hello, I'm Donald Trump.
We were doing Mayor Quimby.
We were doing Mayor Quimby.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's exactly
that's great. We had great times even back working together doing Mayor Quimby voice, you know, and it's
back in the heyday of The Simpsons and stuff.
You know, we'd be screaming down the aisles at each other in Mayor Quimby voice or whatever.
Steve and I, we had plastic guns. You know, the kind of guns where you would pull the trigger and you hear a gunshot sound, like in a speaker. Yeah. I had bought one. And then we all went and bought one.
And we made holsters around the frame shop.
We would hide the guns and then, you know, you could pull it out real quick. And this is the John Woo period of time where, of course,
I dive across a counter.
You have to
buy two guns, too,
you know. They'd also recoil when you pull the trigger of the thing.
The little slides.
Remember, you'd pull the slide back and you'd hear it go like that. So we'd be doing like
so
all the time.
We're trying to help a customer real fast to run back there to get finished so we could ambush the other one.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
It
so
was great.
You'd hear one of us would walk back there and you'd hear the gun cock and we're like, shit, he's going to get me.
It could be like a funny joke. Somebody says something kind of annoying. You're like, oh, I'm about to get shot.
Yeah, we'd have a gun underneath the counter, and somebody would say something just annoying.
I can remember to this day, like,
I still have that gun.
Cashiers or
yes,
something, Steven.
You should auction that up for next year's holiday package.
I can still remember employees, Adam, in other parts of the store, like, what are you guys doing back here?
And we're in tears on the floor laughing.
I know. It wasn't worth it for the pay. It was just the fun we had.
Okay, so another thing about – I'm sorry. I hope if you guys want to wrap the show. I mean, we can't. I'll stop. But
I saw
a picture on your Facebook that somebody posted, Jason, of this insane amount of garbage out in the drive, out in the parking lot.
Yes, Bill Pally, who I worked with, that was at MJ Designs where we worked. Basically what happened is they had a cookout, like burgers and stuff, and one of the managers like – Throw all the coals and stuff in the dumpster. So, of course, the stockroom guy, he doesn't know any better. He throws all of the coals in the dumpster, turns on the thing, pushes it in the back, catches the whole dumpster on fire from the inside. The fire department has to come and use the jaws of life, cut the giant dumpster open. It was a kind of sealed one with a compactor, right? They cut it open.
What a mess.
They're like, okay, fire's out. They leave. Giant pile of garbage is out there for like, I don't know, a week and a half. So we started taking these jokey pictures. One of them is me taking a leak on it.
Taking a leak, yes.
Yeah. Another one is us putting up the Iwo Jima flag on it.
See, I was gone at this
That's
time.
That's awesome.
And another one, like, you can tell by my body language, is I'm holding a trash can and kind of like all defeated, like, I had to clean this shit up. So
nice,
we'd go
nice.
Out there
That's
and
great.
Just do stuff like that.
And the other thing that it brought up real fast, when you guys I'm sorry.
Okay.
When you guys were talking about the guns,
right?
I had that same exact gun. I think that when you would pull back, it would click.
It's a Desert Eagle. It was a
Desert Eagle.
Desert Storm because it was tan. Yeah,
no, ours was tan and had camouflage tan.
It was Desert Storm.
Yeah,
gun.
I painted mine silver so it would look real. That's
and it
right.
had All a right. Orange tip on it.
Yeah, but me and Ross got guns when we were older, and like their airsoft guns, you know, the rifles that shoot yellow plastic BBs. I don't know
right.
if you guys have ever
yeah, I've seen
I've got, those or heard
I've got
those,
a pistol.
But, yeah, so we bought those, and like I said, Ross and I lived like three or four houses away in this small little town. And Ross said, okay, it's fair game. So whenever you come over to my house, expect to be ambushed. And whenever I come over to yours, I'll expect to be ambushed as well. So, you know, we'll just keep this little thing going. And I remember some nights like walking, and it's not like a typical suburb. It's like weird wine, like little weird roads. And I remember like being really, really scared, like clutching my little like pistol, like, and like freaked out that Ross was gonna jump out somewhere and shoot me.
You're waiting
but one day, one day I got him so good. I hopped inside his recycling bin And I called him, and I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, this is before I was in the recycling bin. Sorry, let me set this up better. I called him. He says, hey, I just got off work. You want to go hang out or whatever? I said, yeah, I'll meet you over at your house. He said, cool, I'll be there in like 10 minutes. So I grab my rifle. I get in his recycling bin, and like right as he gets out of the car and turns towards like the back of the car, I pop out of the recycling bin and shoot him square in the nipple. Like right nice. In the left nipple. Got him so good. It was awesome. I had to tell that story. I'm sorry.
Awesome, Adam. Cool. I like
so it's story. Me and me it's cool because me and Ross got a lot of those type of stories as well.
Sweet. Now, hey, go to 1-206-202-3491. Dial that and you could leave us a voicemail. Also, Adam, what is our what is the email of the show?
nimpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah! So send us an email, everybody. All right, guys. Also, I can't forget to remind you to visit our old shows. We got 1 through 90 up right now. I'll add 4 more and hopefully get up to 100 this week of Old Nowhere and Mulberries, and it'll be awesome. I want to thank
yes,
you, Stephen.
Yes, and please start listening to those so that you can join along with Ross and I as we
that'll be sweet. I can't wait to hear those, Adam.
Right on. Me too.
Once again, Adam, thank you for sitting in.
Thanks again.
Good times, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
See you
have
later.
A good one. Woo! I'm
see
waving.
Guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Adam, you don't see me, but I'm waving to you. Bye, Adam.
I just put my hand up and waved, too. What a geek.
Awesome. All right, laters.
Bye.
Bye, Adam. It gets worse.
See you, Steven.
Food and loves Goodfellas.
Now this is podcasting.
Party in my mouth.
But that's not my style. Can you be more specific?
Someone's gonna pay for this.
Would you just stop?
Oh no.
Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
Does it offend anybody?
Party in your mouth.
No way. We're done.
I think I've just thrown up in my mouth.
We got a little problem here, mate.
Yeah, hold on, it gets worse.
These morons.
What is happening?
Lukewarm, solidified chunks of crap.
Dude, shut up. That is awesome sauce.